Blog Talk Radio.
Today's music news. The ever controversial Tupac Shakur has just released another album under the alias Machiavelli.
You in a few smoke-filled room calling that
As you know, here we go again. Welcome to another episode. Today is December 9th, 2021. It's 9:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome, welcome. Dialogue. We say this is a dialogue. People always want to debate, though. A dialogue is something that you just pose questions. You talk about a topic, you hear something that you don't like, and you just ask questions about it. But no, it's not. I want to have a dialogue tonight. What's up? It's been a week since we've been on air. We kept it last week. Not a lot. I'm not going to get too much into it. And I learned a lot last week and a lot of information. And some things that you hear for the first time, you can't reject. You got to consume it and think about what you're hearing and think about, this is the first time I'm hearing this, but I must multiply this thought by millions. Last week was, wow, it's amazing. But this week we're going to talk about a couple of topics. And it's an open conversation also, too. So we're going to try to stay on the main three topics. And then after the main three topics, it's going to be, you know, open conversation about the world and how it affects Black African-American people. People say, what is Black African-American? I think I use that term. I think I'm the only person who used the term. I was on another show locally here in Baltimore, and I was just gone. And the host was like, man, excuse me. I said, hold up. I got to keep on going. I got the public of Baltimore listening to me. You don't cut me off because I might forget what I'm about to say. But he wound up cutting me off and saying, I'm just cutting you off just to agree with you. I'm putting an asterisk by everything you're saying. That's it. Keep on. And I use the word Black African American to describe myself, my family, and the people around me. People say, well, what's about Black African American? What does that mean? Some people say, nowadays we're not black. I don't understand. People are saying, teach Black African history, well, African history or African American history. I say teach Black African-American history in school, but when you look at the children, how are you going to tell them to describe themselves? Some people say don't tell the children to describe themselves black. It's a color. We're not black. Black means this. Black means bad. Black means devil. Black means you're a slave. Don't say black. Some people will say, you're not African, so don't say you're African-American. You're not Elon Musk. He was born in Africa. Now he's an American citizen. He's considered African-American, but he doesn't have melanated skin. I've even heard some people say, do not consider yourself American because America has never considered the Negro, the colored person. They never considered you American. Even though you fought in every war, you came back to you, they didn't treat you like American. So why would you call yourself American? This is what I'm here, but at the same time, how are you going to teach that Black African-American history class? Or how are you going to teach a class full of Black African-American children or children, whatever you want to call them? How are you going to teach anybody, no matter what race they are, teach them a class about melanated people around this country? You can't even define of who you are on the applications you ever hear. On the application, it is a black, or to us, this is how they know that we're screwed. They say, are you black or African American? Maybe I'll put that picture up. I didn't put no pictures up on the show tonight. They ask you that. What are you? You're all of them put together. The 60s movement, the Civil Rights Act,
the Voting Act. People who are not black African American would not really have any rights if it wasn't for the 60s movement. In the 60s movement, late 50s, all through the 60s, we started calling ourselves black because we were the opposite side of the spectrum when it comes to the white supremacists. White supremacists, rich, rule the country, things. We're black, poor, we're the opposite side of the spectrum. It's just that easy. Elijah bin Muhammad, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, he started to stand the Negro to cover. He started using the word black about 2 years before he died. Black people. What? Muhammad Ali. We determined to call ourselves black. We adopted it. That's why you're black, because of the 60s movement. Before that, you were called Negro or colored. That even changed. Lyndon Johnson, well, them Negroes, I don't know how them Negroes want to act. You have to be distinguished in this country so you can get benefits for your group of people. This country philosophy, it says, different cultures, many different groups of people can live together in harmony within a geographical location as long as they think of the Constitution. That's the culture of America. It's the Constitution. You can have Chinatown. You can have your Jamaican town. You can have all these things. Everyone is keep on saying, we got all these other towns, but where's the black African American town that everyone can go in with peace? Well, we're trying to work on it today, and this is what this show is about. It's not just talking. No, you listen, you talk. I mean, try to have a conversation and implement it in your life. African. You're African because, what, you're here in America, no matter if you've been mixed, your skin, your shade, it's melanated, you know you're not the white Caucasian. And if your skin is a lighter tone, look at your nose and your mouth. Look at your last name. Well, I didn't get to that part. But look, you come from the continent of Africa. Your great ancestors come from the continent of Africa. If one of your parents, grandparents or grandfathers, was linked up in those 4 million slaves, I don't care if even before the Civil War, if they were one of your descendants of American slavery, that's a fact. You can't deny it, because one, the egg and the sperm came together. They were a slave. And then they also produced you. Without them living, you could not be here. Lucy, they say, oh, we're not, we were always here. Only thing you guys tell them, what about Lucy? Lucy was before Pangea. How y'all get over here? Lucy, spinal cord perpendicular to the earth. Stop saying that coarse-haired, melanated people from the continent that we call Africa, not northern part of Africa that we call, not northern part, but the Ivory Coast that we call Ivory Coast, the west coast of Africa, the central part, the southern part, stop saying that they look like everybody else. They came up on only on the boat. Your ancestors come from Africa, and the reason why you say black African, you may put that African in there because you don't ever let them forget about the slave trade. And you're American because black African-American men were the first, and then when the women came along later, and they were the ones who fought in every war that this country ever endured. Fact. So what you mean you're not an American? Do you want to go over to Nigeria? I know you don't want to go over to Nigeria, do you, when they just slaughtered people and tried to cover it up and hide it? Your ancestors that were slaves, they made the first initial money of the United States of America. Has America, listen, even if they talk about, well, America economics start over with the brand new deal. No, all the gold that they kept, you cannot separate none of the gold in the world from cotton picking. Because people pick cotton. Cotton was so precious as it was white gold. Just like salt. Salt used to be white gold. Cotton was white gold. During the Civil War, the dirty suckers down the South sold cotton bonds to France to make money and give them. They sold, that's how bad cotton was. They sold the cotton bonds. So they made our ancestors pay for almost their own demise to an American, Black African American. Just that simple. Oh, if you got, you have melanated skin. Some people got on me and said I was a too light-skinned brother. They maybe not that darker than me, and they said that they had a hard time in America than me. I said, what? My skin looks similar to the, they call it the gold skin in Africa, the Ivory Coast. Hang on, I have to pause 1 second. Sorry for the interruption. Sorry for the interruption. Busy man. So you fought in every war. Americans, stand strong. Be proud. Tell the children in your Black African American history class, tell them never in their life look down, especially the males. If the males, if their grandfathers, their uncles, some of their descendants wouldn't have fought in every war, no one other male would have their rights in this country. Tell the Black African American males when other males from other foreign countries come and demean and says, you know, you Black African American males, you don't do nothing. Look at your inner cities. Look at everything. You are weak men. You're not standing. Just tell the Black African American male to smile to the person and never get upset. And says, oh, brother, you're a little different than me. You don't hate nobody. You don't be bigot. You teach them. Teach me because they don't know. I just learned my African-American history in depth about 12 years ago. The other last week on the show, Sarge, who I think he'll come on tonight, was educating me on the tradition Black African-American Republican. Didn't know. You look at them and you tell them their history and says, hold up. You're here. Your people are here. My people are here. But we have a different history and a different start here in America. A different start. And right now, if it wasn't for none of my people fighting in every war, you wouldn't be over here. Oh, but by the way, this is a fact. Unlike us, you have your own country, your own language, your own flag. Something was happening within your territory, and somehow you as a man says, I can't fight my brother in my farmland. I must go to America with the milk and honey, where the economy is good. I have to go to freedom. I have to get away. I have to go to the worldly heaven, which is America. And you get here and you say it's a wonderful paradise. If it wasn't for the struggle of people, if it wasn't for cotton, if it wasn't for the first initial money of this country, it wouldn't look like that. Even though we were mistreated, and we're still being mistreated now, we built it. You can never separate the past cotton money from anything in this country. because some of the biggest companies that hold this country together still has ties from that. There is no way that you can never dissolve the money trail back from cotton picking in this country. You can't dissolve that. Hold your head up high. Don't look down on yourself that the situation that we're in and get it all by ourselves. Now, the consequence and the people are going to battle tonight. Now, if people call in, anybody can call in. Hold on for a minute. Let me make sure. Don't be scared. So that's why I want to get off first time. First thing I want to get off, because people try to, like, what is the definition? Well, if you don't want to define yourself, other people are Americans. That's not true. We're not all Americans. We have, this is what I don't get. They keep passing bills. This federal government looks at the society and says, these groups of people are a group, must need help. They're suffering in this country, and we're going to get together, debate about it, and we're going to talk, and we're going to pass legislation to help those people's situations in this country. They do it all the time, right? They do it to protect. Ask yourself this question before I get into the topic. The Civil Rights Bill was written basically to protect everybody. It was for us. It's ambiguous. And basically, it protects anybody. But after that Civil Rights Bill, they said, oh, the Civil Rights Bill freed everything up for blacks. You got your freedom. They did it for y'all. It's not. It was a trick. Now that you're a grown person and you know your history and you're grown, you know the trick behind that. If the Civil Rights Bill benefited blacks so much, and blacks really benefited off of the Civil Rights Bill like it should have been, and if the Civil Rights Bill was implemented, if that bill was implemented correctly, remember, they can write a bill, but you have to think about implementation. If they implemented that bill, they didn't implement the bill correctly, right? Notice something. They still had to come back after the Civil Rights Bill and pass civil rights legislation for other specific groups. Now, they're going to say, after the Civil Rights Act, black, and they say, oh, it did free black people, even though it doesn't specifically say this Civil Rights Act is for black African Americans, or at the time, Negroes, like Lyndon Johnson said. Even though it doesn't say that, it's supposed to help us out. It's supposed to help everybody out. Well, that's not true. But watch what happened. It really didn't do anything. Because after the Civil Rights Bill was passed, special groups said that their civil rights were being violated and they needed help by the federal government. And I agree. They should have gotten help. Gay marriage needed help by the Supreme Court, the judicial branch of government. States' legislative branches went and helped the gays out. And here in Maryland, the churches went and had a petition to go ahead and stop gay marriage in Maryland. They had a petition to do it. They had to be protected. After the Civil Rights Bill, the Asian Hate Crime Bill. After the Civil Rights Bill, they passed a bill specifically for another group. The Immigration Bill. That's ethnicity. You know what ethnic is? It's culture. Same thing. Ethnicity, culture. Different words, sounding words, different vibrations coming out your mouth, but it's the same picture. How you dress, your religion, your dance, your culture, your style, your talk, all of that. That's your ethnicity, not your race. They passed an immigration bill that includes different ethnicities. An immigration bill is a bill of people with different ethnicities together, and they should pass it. Now watch this. After the Civil Rights Bill, this country should pass a bill to help black African-American families out, specifically for them. Some people would say what I just said is racist. You see how, you see, a Republican, somebody will sit there and say that. Think about it. So that's all I want to say. That was my little brief monologue so far. You guys can call in. Let me see. It's 563-999-3476. That's 563-999-3476. So, getting into some topics tonight. You see, guns in schools. Someone had a meme, and, well, not a meme, they sent me a message, and basically talking about, hold on for 1 second, when I was back, I was about to call in. But let me get into it. There's a lot of memes out there. We're going to talk about guns in schools, and we're going to talk about, I think, how, you know, this is critical for black African American males at this time. A lot of people are going into the workforce. And when you have a lot of our men from mass incarceration, a lot of our men are going and doing a life of crime to make money. And all of it, they say it revolves around money. If you hear somebody, they say, well, I did this because I needed to make money. I'm just going by what they say. There was a meme. Well, something that comes out. And I think it's a little bit disturbing. Because I think when someone has a meme like that or puts something out on social media, they're painting a false picture of something. Right? They're painting a false picture of something. They're painting a false picture that black African-American males are lazy and don't get their work done. It's a tag. And in the meme, they says, hey, they rather hire black African-American men. They rather hire black African-American women than black African-American men. You know what I'm saying? Why would you put that out there and just put in a meme and spread that? And this is what you have. Let me see if I can let me go ahead and get the meme for me. Let me read this. And the reason why this is very important is, see, I'm advocating for the federal government to make sure black African-American males with this infrastructure bill gets good paying jobs. And, but after signing, because, you know, blue-collar working jobs is going to be more male than anything. 8 out of 10 of the jobs will probably be male. But we must let females qualify, if they qualify, get those jobs. It's a fact. You have a woman right to work bill. Because women need to be protected. even though the civil rights bill say you can't discriminate against gender, but after that bill, they still had to sign a bill to protect women. Right? I got that. So we understand that. But out of those 8 out of 10 men, a lot of people need to make sure, especially in our community, we need to monitor that black males are getting these $45 an hour and $50 an hour jobs, like Joe Biden says. We must make sure of that so they can help build their family. Because the signing of the bill, what did they present? They presented two women who were going to be working on an infrastructure job. Remember, the first infrastructure bill, for the most part, not all, for the most part, and they should hire women, for the most part is going to be male. The second infrastructure bill is going to be more nursing, working with the elderly, or female, for the most part, because we have male nurses. I don't think that's male chauvinist or that's a bias or that's just probably the norm of what I'm saying. And everyone knows that. So when you put that face of a woman for the infrastructure bill, this is a black African-American dialogue. I think about, well, where's the black African-Americans? I mean, the federal government signed mass incarceration bills on a federal level to hinder black males' vote. Watch, because black males were using and selling something in an economy, in a capitalist system. They gave kingpin charges. No violent crime, but kingpin charges because of someone from African-American culture was selling something. They passed laws, but some people are going to say it will be racist and gender bias if they put an initiative to hire black African-American males in some of these contracts. It should be an initiative. But stuff like this that you're about to read, it doesn't help much. And you got to think about who is sending this out. Really? Like, is this really true? I'm trying to look for it now. Let me read this. And the person who posts this meme, I asked him to come on to the show. I don't know if he's going to come on. And people, like, when I read this to you, people are going to suck it up and say, yeah, that's right. I know that. That is the majority of them. You have to say that that's the majority. When someone reads this, they're going to say that this is the majority. All right. Let me see. Let me try to. Now, this was a post of my man. I invited the person on the show. If they come onto the show and talk about it, I'll give their name out. And I'll give some of these names out. But this is what the post says. I was talking to a friend of mine who owns a trucking company. He employs both men and women as drivers and noted an important distinction. The sisters be out there getting to it, picking up and dropping off. The brothers be out there playing and lollygagging, trying to start families in other states and shit. I asked him what he was going to do, and he said, hire more women. So now you have a owner. We don't know the race of the owner or not. Seeing women in trucking, because there's a big YouTuber. She's a woman and she's documenting her travels. I don't know the name. You can come on and document it. There's a lot. I know some friends that are females. They are also in trucking. I know females that are in trucking, and I applaud them. On CBS, they were interviewing a trucking company, and the trucking company says they had 150 spots, 350 15 were applicants. And like about 20% to 30% of the new truckers were women. And a lot of them are black African-American women. So I'm not denying that this type of atmosphere, this type of scene that I just read, I'm not denying that it's starting to grow more. Now, you say, well, what was the color? You used the word sister. That's our language. The sisters be, that's how we talk when we describe black African-American females. So the meaning, basically, is the meaning black African-American males' work ethic. Negroes don't want to work. The meaning. Now, when I read the meme, and when I read that, right, I laugh when I read that meme. That meme is funny to me. Because this is what I say. When I read the meme, basically says that the women be dropping their loads off. So they be getting their stuff done, and then you're in trucking on time. But the meme doesn't say that the brothers get their loads late. They said lollygagging is like, I looked it up, it says being idle, just not doing anything. Well, if a boss, anybody, that's legitimate. That's something on the job, man. I mean, if I'm a boss and I'm seeing all these people lollygagging, that may be a foul offense. Lollygagging. And now, why are the supervisors watching it? Now, the word lollygagging, we don't know what it says idle. That means that they're sitting there doing absolutely nothing on their phone. While they should be doing something, they're actually sitting idle doing nothing. Or is lollygagging talking to another brother while you're doing your work? Talking to another brother, board jobbing for 3 or 2 minutes, and since you're a black African-American male and you've been in trucking for many, many, many years, what? You only take a normal person 5 minutes to do. You do it in a minute and a half. Just in the military. Some people can't break down an M16 in 30 seconds. And the person can sit. I'm sorry. If you can break down a gun in 30 seconds, you can lollygag if the time to do it is in 2.5 minutes. Some people that are new to breaking down a weapon, just using this as an example, they can't lollygag. I don't know what lollygagging, because that can be ambiguous. If it means idle, just sitting down doing nothing, he should fire them. But this is where it's dangerous. He goes into personal people's lives. He says, they be going around town perfect and going and having babies in other states and stuff like that. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. He spreads this around. He says he's going to hire more men. Now, if the men are not doing their job, God said he would be firing them. I think what lollygagging is, we shoot the breeze. But men get the job done. They probably get the job done, but they shoot the breeze. Someone new to something, they're not going to shoot the breeze. They're new to it. They're always going to be focused. And I don't know. These women are new. Most women are new. He's going to hire new women. He's talking about probably men who's been in trucking for about 10, 15, 20 years. They make a lollygag in between what they're doing and still get the job done. I don't know. I'm quite sure they're talking about shooting the breeze, smoking and joking. If you're new in the industry, and I've been in the industry for 15 years, you're going to be so cautious of what you do every single time because you're learning it. I'm going to be conscious as a 10 or 15-year veteran, but I'm one with my job. It comes second nature. It becomes second nature. Hold on, let me see. We all one. What's up? This you? Hello? Guess not. Hold on. Second nature, so hold on for guys, you gotta hold on for 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. Who's ever listened to the show? I had a little take a pause and break. I gotta get some music for the show. But anyway, oh guys, we're gonna be on YouTube next week. Just to let y'all know. But anyway, let's move further. So that's just how it goes sometimes. Okay? Then it gets personal and talk about someone's having, you know, babies out of town, just demeaning black men and just the stereotyping them and things of that nature. Well, we don't hire people to do that. I talked to somebody about the meeting. I said, well, what if the guys had 10 children in 10 different states? Someone said that they'll fire them. Why? That's discrimination. That's none of your business. What you mean? A truck driver has 3 sets of kids in 3 states, and the company says they find out and then they fire him. That's not American. That's not American. You're the part of the problem of the world and our society. If you ever fire somebody like that, does he come to work on time? Does he get off his loads on time? Does he pay his child support? If they garnish his wages, does he still do his time? Why would you take a man's living because you don't like what he's doing with his whatever? It's personal business. The boss got into that black man's personal business and said they're having kids. Well, how do you know 15 years later, well, a trucker job, anyone, whether you're male or female, being a trucker is rough on your family. It's like being a soldier. Being a trucker is kind of, it's worse than being a soldier or police officer. You're always away from 4 or 5 days out of the week, you're gone. Good money, but you're gone. See, this is the thing, and I'll open up some lines. Y'all can call in. Ken, if you're on the line, I'll open up your mic. This is the thing. Bashing men like that, we salute women who be truckers. But imagine, because the government, and they should, have protected the women. Imagine those truckers, one of those women, get pregnant. I don't know, from another guy out of state or from a guy from out of state. Then she has to take maternity leave. That business owner is going to probably hire another woman who's not getting pregnant, almost like a man to fill in while she's off. I'm saying they got up to 6 months, I don't know, maternity leave. What is he talking about? Men and women need each other. Why would you get in that man's personal life? Then when the black women start having babies, taking off having babies, the business owner going to say, oh, they're having it because, I don't know, she's making good money. She's still fertile if she has a husband. If she has a husband, most likely if she has a husband and that woman is fertile and she's away from 5 days out of when she comes home, her husband, if he's like the normal male, he's going to make sure that he blessed his wife sexually because she's been away. She's back home. And you might have some children. And he may be the next man be like, all these black women, they be getting pregnant and they don't want to come to work. Oh, they shouldn't mean that. That's tough being in the trucking business and you take a maternity leave. So what I'm saying is men and women need each other. Don't the mean? Then he's going to start saying, oh, well, the women, I'm hiring more women, but she keep on taking off because her kids, who's watching those children? Because some of them have children. She has to have a strong man at home when these women are getting in these trucking engines. Oh, that's the meaning, black men. That's outright saying, black men, what's lollygagging me? Shooting the breeze. I challenge anyone. You started a job, and when you first got your training, you was doing everything by the book, by the rule, everything, all time, bump, bump, bump. As years gone by, you still do your job, but you know an easier way to do it. You think smarter, not harder. That's what the areas I was taught up in. Think smarter, not harder. If you think something smarter, you might be efficient. So you can, thinking smarter, not harder, and being efficient is find a way to do something quicker than you normally been doing, but you're getting the same result. That's efficiency. Find a cheaper way to make your product, but at the same time, get good quality. New technology might do that. The meme is disgusting. People are laughing at that meme. People are saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. These black women out here working out with these brothers, don't go on with that shit. Excuse my French. That's to let somebody outshining somebody. Say what's up. That's the meme I was talking about. Let's see if we have a caller here. Hello?
Hey, what's up, bro? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead. Talk about the meme, bro.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, what's up, Kenneth? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Everyone, this
all right.
This
can't
is,
complain.
This is, everyone, this is Kenneth. It's my road dog. He the one sent me the meme. And I want you to
hold on,
his opinion on it. Okay.
All right. Sorry about that, bro. Had to take a call. Hello?
Yeah. Question six.
Yeah, okay. How you doing?
Yep, I mean, I'm doing my thing, bro. Doing my thing. I had to go and pick up my daughter because from work because her car got stolen.
Oh wow!
So yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So out in Anaheim. So anyways, I've been listening. Huh?
You got time to talk? You got time to talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they found it. I guess I think my daughter apparently she was like doing some kind of filming, she said, or something like that, and I don't know, but I think she left her key in the car. They said a homeless woman took her car.
Oh, wow.
But they found it though. So, but she just has to get it tomorrow.
Okay.
But anyways,
what's up with the meme?
Yeah, I'm. Well, you know what? I mean, I was listening to what you were saying, and I mean, you know what? I sent you that meme because it kind of piggybacked off of what we were talking about with Biden's Build Back Better program, and you were telling me about it, and you were, you know, saying, hey, this is an opportunity for black men to, you know, get some things going on and, you know, infrastructure and all that stuff like that. I said a couple of things, and you got very mad at me for it. And I said, well, I hope they don't mess it up, or I hope they take advantage of it, or, you know, or whatever, or, you know, they take it, something like that that I said, right? And, you know, and I know that it rubbed you the wrong way. I understand, you know, or why it would have. Maybe it came off a little wrong, you know. I'm sure you would kind of call it coonish. But that's why I sent you that meme, because, I mean, it's still realistic. It's realistic in that, I mean, I heard what you were saying. I know you painted this pretty picture where, you know, these particular black male drivers, almost because he called them brothers, so, you know, these black male drivers are, you know, what he said, lollygagging and, you know, stuff like that. But you're saying, well, you know, they're doing it because they've been on the job for a certain amount of time and they know what they're doing. And so they can, you know, they can cut corners. They can lollygag. I don't agree with that. But, you know, because the way it was worded, it was the women were doing what they were supposed to do and getting the job done. And then the men were lollygagging, which means it was kind of like a, you know, like a comparison between the two. So, I mean, you're right. It could be the owner. And, I, you know, I don't know exactly, you know, what kind of trucking it was. I'm assuming it was kind of like a cross, you know, a state-to-state cross-country thing or whatever, just for the simple fact that, you know, the other thing that I disagree with what you said was that the men are too busy making families in other states. If I'm paying you to do a job, I'm paying you to drive from one state to another to drop off whatever it is you're supposed to be dropping off, and then you bring your ass back. That does not mean, unless, you know, you have, you know, the time or whatever, you know, like, I guess your free time, or I don't know. But if you're on the clock, you don't get to go and make other families on, you know, in other states. Not on my dime. Your dime, when you're not working, when you have your own truck or, you know, your own car, you want to take a trip and go to another state and find yourself another woman to impregnate or whatever, and, you know, then that's on you. But when it's my dime, when I'm paying the gas, when I'm paying you an hourly rate, when I'm paying the freight and everything else that come along with it, I expect you to do what I paid you to do and come back, you know? And, I mean, that's really the way I see it. And honestly, bro, that's one of the ways that we lost out to the Mexican workers when it came to you know, at one time when we tended to be the landscapers and the carpenters and the plumbers and all those, you know, those jobs that work in auto mechanics. Not saying that we weren't great at it and we still are, you know, but we kind of got that stigma that the Mexican men work twice as hard, you know, for cheaper, right? And they eventually, you know, just took over. I still think that's kind of chicken, but, you know, and that's another conversation altogether. But I mean, that for some reason that was the stereotype that was bestowed upon black men. I do feel that to a certain extent, there has to be a little truth in stereotypes, in my opinion. A little. That doesn't mean it's totally 100% true. But there's a little truth in every stereotype. You know, there just is. You know, at least in my opinion. Anybody that says that's not true is just lying. You know, lying to themselves. You know, so like I said, to based on what you were saying, okay, yeah, people cut corners. You know me. I've been on my job for, you know, over 20 years. You know, yeah, you start off by the book, and then you kind of see, you know, well, it's easier to do it this way or whatever. As long as you're turning results, then, hey, nobody bothers you. But apparently, for whatever reason, you know, again, when I'm hearing lollygagging, you know, I'm assuming, and then, you know, as a counter, these people are getting it done, but you're lollygagging, and that's telling me that this person that's lollygagging is probably not getting it done because you've already shown a difference between the two. So, I mean, you know, just to bring it full circle as to what we initially were talking about, which is the Build Back Better program, if there's going to be a similar type of jobs and infrastructure and all that stuff like that, man, we got to be ready. And, you know, we have to be ready. We got to bring our A game, bro. We got to, regardless, it doesn't matter what, because I will say this, you know, and I am of my father. They always tell me, hey, man, you know, you're a black man. You know, you're going to have to put in a little extra time to get to where, you know, another person, you know, get to where another person is, and they didn't put nearly as much time as you did. And I do feel that I've done that. You know, so, but, hey, man, you know, I'd rather us do that than to be knocking people over the head and robbing people and cheating and stealing and, you know, and stuff like that. I'd rather us do that. And then, like you said, take what we've learned as black men, you know, if with this infrastructure bill, take what we've learned and then be able to open up our own business and start our own thing. Which was, you know, but still, man, it's always going to start, especially when you're talking about a job like that. So it's about work ethic. It's about work ethic. You know, I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you. Just to give you an example of, you know, depending on what getting the job done, right? So in my job, we have delivery drivers, right? A typical route may be, you know, 10, 12 stores that you deliver to. That's typical, right? Just because you don't hit 10 or 12 stores don't mean that, you know, that you're not getting it done, so to speak, or whatever, right? But, you know, here's the when the lollygag factor comes in. I send you out to go and deliver to 10 or 12 stores, and you somehow only manage to constantly only deliver to like six or seven or eight, and everybody else is doing 10 or 12, and I'm going to wonder, bro, what's taking you so long? Why are you not able to finish this? And a lot of times it's because they're lollygagging. You know, they're shooting their shit. They're flirting with the girls, talking to the girls. Come on, man. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm sorry. This dude just get somebody in an accident. You know, flirting with the girls on the job, you know, or out in the field, you know, taking longer breaks because, you know, because there's a little bit more freedom. You know, I wish we could get Rick on the phone, but, you know, I know we can't, but I'm sorry. What did you say?
No, I didn't say that. Go ahead. Keep on talking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, because there's a little bit more, you know, when you're out in the field and there's nobody looking over your shoulder, there's a lot more freedom, a lot more. And so, facto, yeah, there is that tendency. And like I said, you know, my get it done as a manager is all that matters. I don't care about what your get it done is. You know, it's my get it done because as a manager, even if I'm an owner, I got to account for whatever it is you're doing.
Let me ask you a question. As a manager, if you would have saw what. As a manager, if you're looking and you're seeing these men idle, what would you do? What would you do? I mean, you said that, be honest, you would see these men idle because the meme doesn't say that they're dropping off late. The meme says that they're bullshitting around. Idle means doing nothing. Your manager saying that. He didn't say I'm going to fire them. He said I'm going to hire more women. Right? He's going to hire more women. Right, but I'm just saying, you said that you were a manager, right? Because I think you think I'm defending people to bullshit around. No, he didn't say that they were doing, according to him, he never said that they were doing any fireable offense. Because if you want to be technical, because what you're saying, this is the reason why black males have been stigmatized and stereotyped, and this is why people don't want hot, this is the reason. Your concept is the reason why we've been struggling economically in this country, because of your stereotypes. The meme did not say that the guys were doing any fireable offense. He didn't say that. He just said I was going to hire more. Now, if he would have said they're not delivering their packages on time and the girls are dropping it off and getting it done, then that is a whole totally different scenario. Because the fact is that this is how funny it is. I've been in the corporate world, military. I've been around businesses I've been around many people. You're in your company. No one is saying no one is going to gravy train and don't do nothing on your job. But there is a difference when you first start a job and when you've been doing a job for 15 years. No matter what color or gender you are, you're going to be in tune with your job, and you'll be able to do something, or you'll be able to multitask in doing something. For instance, me and a brother can be on the assembly line working. We can be joking and laughing and cutting it up, but at the same time, we're working and we're getting our quotas done. Difference then, we're working in, and then I stop and look on my phone and I be lollygagging, sitting idle. When I look up a lollygag, it says sitting idle. I don't know what lollygagging is, but what I'm saying is there's a lot of people when they get tuned, you know and I know, and black men are not different, that you're going to be able to do. See, this is what I'm saying. I know real people, and when I hear you say this, I'm saying, wow. He's putting this all on black men. Black men, I'm just looking at him saying these black men has been in trucking for a long time. He's not saying again, and the only thing he's really focusing on that they really did bad is going to different states.
But going to different states and what?
Except having children. Now, let's get to that part. Now can you be honest? Now, Kim saying him going in different states, don't you think as a manager that is overboard? He can observe that, but to say that is a qualification of why he may hire more women, he's putting himself in a trap. Don't you think that is a little unfair? And he's getting a little too personal as a boss when it comes to his employees. Instead of worrying about the practical... Okay, we'll explain why. So you saying you would fire somebody if you found out? Okay, so you said you would find out that he had hold on. Okay, let me real quick. You did say something. You said that you would fire them because if he's having babies in different states, it means for factual measurement that he was on your clock having sex. Once again, did the low come on time? If the lows are coming on time and the man is still having, if the truck is delivered from point A to point B and then from point B to point A, and at the time, and we're not going to fire him and nothing is missing, but then I find out that he got three different baby mamas in three different states, you're saying that's bad on the business and he's going to get fired. Because it comes down to the law.
I'm not paying you to go be screwing no women, you know, on my dime. That's what I'm saying.
No, Ken. Let's go with the scenario. He's a good. All loads come from point A to point B, from point B to point A, loads on time. But he's been working for you for 15 years, and then one day you find out every fifth year he had got a kid in three different states. You saying that you're going to fire that black man because not what is his job performance, because of his personal life. What I'm saying to you, if you really do that and you let people know, right, don't let nobody know you do that, because you're going to get sued, and you're the problem of our society, Ken. You're the problem, and you're self-righteous, or anybody would be self-righteous, because I got to go on with the load. That's like him. Then that means I got to make sure as a business owner, I don't have multiple children by multiple. I got to make sure that my stuff is perfect. I make sure I have one wife with multiple, with many kids and only one wife, and I don't have no questions. But because in the interview, it's against the law to tell somebody marital status in the interview, right? Their disabilities in the interview, their religious status in the interview. They can go get sued if you go into the interview and they technically ask you that. They don't supposed to ask you about, depending on the job, your health, depending on if you're working around, depending on all that. But a lot of personal things they don't even supposed to ask you because you're going to get the job in the interview, even if they ask you. They tell us, if anybody's listening, tell anybody this, and we're going to interview. If they ask you, tell me something about yourself. This is the advice that many interviewer professionals would tell you. They will say, tell something about yourself, but make sure what you say about yourself, it pertains to the job. Your character is around what you're going to be doing at the job. Try to keep it professional as possible. But you're saying you're going to fire him for some personal things, his personal prerogative, his personal life, and you – come on. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, in the scenario that you gave, and you're saying, well, they're doing their job. I mean, if they're doing their job, then, I probably wouldn't trip, but I can't say that, you know, some managers are like, hey, man, you know, or owners, not managers, but owners, like, listen, I am not paying you to go and pick up women on my dollar. I mean, you know, I'm doing my job, so I don't care if you're doing your job. I'm not paying you. Maybe, you know what, because look at it like this. Look at it like this.
Okay, go ahead. Because I want him to nerd. I pay him to do a job. I pay him to do a job and get a job in a timely fashion, right? If that's completed, somehow, because sometimes, I'm not in trucking. Sometimes truckers have to stay the night in the state. So when he parks his truck in a particular state, if he parks his truck and a girl comes and gets him, he fucks her over a house, she drives him off at the truck, and he goes, I don't know. Maybe you can say, well, where would you at? You should have stayed with the truck. I don't know, but many truckers go into hotels. So I don't know. If he parks the truck and brings a girl in another state to the hotel every week, and he pays, and he gets a pregnant, and he takes care of his child. As long as he brings the load, Ken, stop. You're the problem of our society, and you're pointing at black males, and you just want them to stop to say, brother, just stop having kids. I can't fire you, but stop having kids because they keep garnishing your wages. That's all for
them. I don't want black men to stop having kids. Come on, man. I got 5 kids myself. Why would I? Come on, man. No, like I said, you in your scenario, there's nothing wrong with that. You still got free time. I mean, no, by law, federal law, you're not supposed to work somebody. I don't know. I think for drivers, I think like 10 hours or something like that. Like they gotta have some downtime, you know. So I got you. I'm more talking about just the overall work ethic.
But he's saying the overall work. Now watch this. What if a year from now the women get in tune with their job? No. Let's go to the scenario, because I want you to try to answer what I was posing. Well, he's saying he's going to hire more women. What if these women have to go on maternity leave and the truck can't move? Who is going to want now?
He can hire some women that's not pregnant, or he can hire some men.
Hold on. So now you're hiring all these women. He's going to hire more women, and these women are making good money. And if they have men at home, when they come home, they're going to get sex. And I'm saying 2 out of 10 may get pregnant, and they have maternal leave by the federal government, and they should be protected. But he's going to have to fill in. And see, now he's gender discriminating. He didn't say, I'm going to hire more good people who don't do the job. He said, I'm going to hire more black sisters that's hurting the black male, and that's messed up. And that's the problem of the world. You don't admit laws protect us from his thoughts. Laws are written, Ken, because his thoughts, his concepts, he's going to act that out. That's why you challenge thoughts and concepts and say, if we apply what you say, this is why the world is messed up. This is why people go through stuff. Because you hired a man to do a practical physical thing. But once you start getting into his personal business when you know it's not affecting his job. He's showing up on time. He's throwing this in it. He didn't even say that they were showing up late. He didn't even say that they were showing up. He just said that they were lollygagging. What, lollygagging in the break room? I don't know. I mean, 24 hours that everyone is constantly doing exactly what the job is supposed to say. You know how many? This is hard. And if you have this start off, then you bring up another topic. You said, well, this is why the Hispanic people, black men used to do now Hispanic people, but you said something to Hispanic men. There you go again. These are their talking points. They are cheap labor. That's what they are. They're cheap labor.
Mm-hmm.
Batman do a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, let me give another shout out. I want to give a shout out to all of the trailer restaurants in Baltimore. I had a chance, and I'm having a chance to eat at some of these new delivery spots. And I know for a fact, here locally in Baltimore, young people who used to work at the restaurants, the fast food, I don't know, and it's a lot of them, and I'm proud. They got these trailers, and these trailers in the Baltimore, they're in areas where, hey, you're like, oh, my goodness, it's right the side of the alley. Not inside, but off of the side. Right in the hood. They have these trailers, and they're associated with Uber Eats, DoorDash, all of the type of deliveries. And they're making their money, having that food on the trailer. The trailer's a little kitchen, and people just come up and it's straight deliveries. And they're making their money. They're not working for McDonald's anymore. And I know the pool of people that are working here are average black folk. They ain't no Sahasa Diddy. Because the areas that they got them trailers in, they're not scared of them. They come from Baltimore. So I would like to say there's a lot of black African Americans who quit their jobs, took that stimulus money, put it together. They say they ain't going back to work no more. And I'm letting you know, they open up their own shops. I know a guy that used to work at McDonald's. I pulled up to one. I said, my goodness. He said, yeah, this is mine.
That's good.
So I want to let you know that's a lot of them. Matter of fact, next show, I'm going to put some pictures that I have, a couple of them, since I'm talking about it, but we'll talk. As a matter of fact, I might try to bring one business owner on and to talk about it. But you're saying that we lost jobs to the Hispanics, man. Come on, man. That's another stereotype. Black men are lazy. Well, let me say, if black men are lazy, it's because the way this government was structured and policy was structured in the past, Ken, black men was on an unemployment line. See, the government in the city government can't always hire all of the black men that's being born. See, you got to remember, when Martin Luther King died, he was fighting for wages in Memphis, right, in Memphis for sanitation work. Black men.
Mm-hmm.
Working for the city government. Let me tell you something, Ken. In the private industry, they used to tell me, let me teach you something about this country and how people get over. In the private industry, they used to tell me never discuss salaries when I was a young lad. And I said, I don't. They said, well, the reason why you don't discuss salaries is because if you and your coworker that's working right next to you discuss salaries, and one of you find out that the other is making more than you, and you guys are working the same job, it might cause some animosity between coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the corporate private industry told this black African American male. Some of you that may be listening to me probably are familiar when they say don't discuss salaries. Have you ever heard that, Ken? In your line of work, don't discuss salaries amongst coworkers.
Absolutely.
Okay, right now it's all good. good. Now, stay with me. You notice when you look for a job posting in the private industry, not the government, government GS something, and it's chronicle and it's straight orderly, and the government, they make sure you can't get over, right, when you're a government worker, right? You ever know they may say 25, this position, we're going to pay $25,000 to $45,000 a year. Just that ballpark. Now you say $25,000 to $45,000 a year. What that's telling you is that in each position, the maximum, let's say they had 10 positions, the maximum amount that their budget is going to pay for these 10 positions is $450,000. You got 10 positions, $45,000 a year is the max. They already know that is the maximum amount that they're going to pay, and they can't go over this amount. And if they don't go over this amount, everything is budgeted. But as a human resources department, they're going to try to get the best candidates for the cheapest price.
Right.
So it all depends on whether you go in there with your skills to the interview, whether you want to negotiate the salary or not negotiate. Then it's always up to the human resources. Now, that's up to you as the interviewer. I'm sorry, as an interviewee. It's up to you to decide, well, hey, they offered me $30,000. It's 25 to 45,000. Let me ask them for $5,000 more. That's if you're confident in your skills. They may negotiate and say, well, no, we want to give you 32. Well, it's better than 30 that you had. Then they advise you, hey, if you don't have a lot of experience, you can't be going over there and negotiating, just stand firm. Hey, man, you offered me $30,000. I want 35. If you want 35, I want to take it. All right, sir, I'm sorry. They'll say, unfortunately, this position just doesn't fit you, and you're just trying to be here just for money. You're not good anyway. You're just here just for the money. You're not going to be a good employee. They may throw you out just because of that. Remember, black people are a lot in that category, too. You don't want to, you know, negotiate money. Right? So, but then the interviewer, they can say this. They can say, I like this guy. I like this woman. Smile. It seems like I would go to happy parties with them. Hey, instead of $25,000, I'll give them $37,000. Hey, this girl offered you $35,000. I see that wedding ring on his finger. He graduated from this. He's paying that college loan off debt. He's like my son. He's paying that college loan off debt. Let's give him $40,000. Straight out of college. No experience. Huh? And guys, guess what? We haven't even talked about race. Have we, kid? They say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And we haven't even talked about race yet. I think I'm going to start saying that. They say it's not what you know, it's who you know to be successful in this country. But guess what? We haven't even talked about race yet. So what I'm trying to tell you, Ken, is this. If we have even a lazy problem in our community, it's because before you identify the lazy problem, black males wanted to work, and this country has hindered them in the private industry. They gave some black men factory jobs and make good money, but they should have given enough more. And let me let you know, when people were coming over here and getting those factory jobs and all of the unions, guess what? It should have been more black African-American males. For the first initiation, I'm sorry, the traditional white male here and the black male should have been building more and more skyscrapers than other people. We did not come first. And if you would have employed us in an initiative, especially after the New Deal, then you won't have no idle time. A society, you got to realize, you keep on saying, well, you can build your own companies, you can build your own businesses. That's what the Republicans want. Well, the Republicans try to pass legislation to get the black people in the private industry. Well, if you're in the private industry, well, how do you get your startup money in the private industry? Either the government is going to pass law for you to get a grant, so you're going to pass. Remember, you're a poor black person. Mother don't got nothing. She don't got no education. You went to college. You got a college degree. Now, they saying that you're all educated. You get around other educated. You got to get the capital. Where are you going to get the capital at to start your private business? Now, people say all black people should have put their money. The pool of black people ain't trying to get, put no money. You got to realize people talk about all pockets. It was tough. Yes, we ate at black restaurants. Yes, but the supply chain, the good stuff, the white people had because we were separate from equal. They're going to get the freshest pork. They're going to get the freshest fries for their people, and we will always had and always have got white folk leftovers. That's why we ate chitlins, leftovers. Think about it. They said black people just want to hurry up and go get something nice. Then when black people were getting all the stuff and get some money and get stuff, they talking about the bus, the buses that Dr. Clark Addison wrote. But the fact of the matter is the buses were not in good shape. White separate with equal was hard. Because they say you want to be separate, you can be separate from us, but the people that's separate from you, they're going to get good stuff because they dictate and they pass laws for their people.
Yeah.
Just like the opioid addiction. Black people been using cocaine, the crack mothers, crack smoking, heroin addiction. It's teenagers to all have black people face on it. When white Caucasians in the dominant population started getting high and parents started saying my son was getting drugs, like black mothers been saying for decades in this country, what did they do? When you get a surgery now, they give you some nasal spray just in case you have a opioid addiction after surgery or some pain medication. They didn't have that 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago, 50. They didn't have that in the 65 and 64 and 74 and 76 when Malcolm X and in the 60s Malcolm X said it. In the 70s Muhammad Ali said Muhammad Ali said it. In Harlem, there was a lot of drugs in Harlem. Heroin. Who passed the heroin? Let me ask you, who started the heroin and the cocaine in the black African American community? The Sicilians. In 54.
You said the Sicilians?
Yes, the Sicilians, yeah. All of them, the mafia. They put the cocaine and the heroin and the dope in Harlem. That's a fact.
And I don't know if this is true, but wasn't that the thing, we're not going to sell it to us, we're going to sell it to the blacks?
Right, that's in Godfather. Get a drug to them.
Yeah, I know it's in Godfather, but I mean, is there some truth to that? I mean, you know.
Well, it's a fact. Yes, it's a fact, because they know what it is. Give it to them to sell. See, they took money Well, Benjamin Franklin started gambling here in this country. Gambling, Benjamin Franklin did. But so gambling, and so in Harlem, black people got playing numbers. You know, side hustles. You know, betting on horses, numbers. Well, they took the numbers away from the black people. The mob. They bullied us. They had
guns. The lottery.
The white men had more guns. The underground lottery that we had. See, we started the lottery today stems from black folk. The lottery today stems from black folk in Harlem playing numbers on horses. And you put your number in, and they look at the paper, and if you got it, hey, boom. If you're not, you owe some people some money. All right? When you play the number.
Because
they're going to give you a number, and if they hit the number, you got to pay them their money back. That's how you hit it. Back then. So that's how the regular life.
Right.
The mob took that from the black folks. Hustle. Remember, men that can't work, not educated, and even some of them immigrants, I mean, they can't get the lawfare job. I'm going to your laziness. If we are lazy, let's take why. Because we haven't always been like this, Ken. So if you say black men are lazy, let's trickle down why we lazy. So then now you hurt them with jobs. Then a man gets up in the morning, he don't have nothing.
No, well, hold on. I don't know. I'm not saying black men are lazy now. I didn't say all that. That's not what
but
I said.
No, that's what you were saying. You saying we have to get better. You saying the stereotypes are true. The stereotypes are true.
No, well, hold on. No. I said there's a little truth in all stereotypes, right? There's a little truth, okay? But
that's
don't let that be that it's
on.
Like, huh?
Because I'm trying to make you walk down a chronological history while black men are for the, well, you know, we have a lot of business people, and you can point out, what about this guy? What about my grandson? What about this? Don't talk about the pool. We need to do more. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
So historically,
let me just clarify something, okay? Like what I was saying as far as the black men, black men are, you know, not lazy, okay? I think that what happens is you get a few, especially with black men, okay? For some reason, we got to take accountability for the behaviors of you know, other black men, right? One. And then two, like I told you, for us to get let's say a certain point, we got to work twice as hard as somebody else. Otherwise, we're considered lazy. And you combine that with part of the black men that are lazy and cut and half stepping and lollygagging. You know, well then that's why I say there may be a little truth, but it's in the stereotype in all stereotypes, but it's not, you know, 100%. Even if you go back to, like, let's say, you know, hold on, bro. If you go back to, like, look, huh?
I said, no, go ahead.
No, paramedics, hold on. Hold on. Sorry.
This is a live show, baby. This is a live show. This is a live show.
Yeah. All right, so yeah,
callers,
what I was saying, you can go back and let's say
press one. I just want to say some callers on the switchboard. Y'all can press one. Y'all can call whoever's listening. Y'all can call 563-999-3476.
No, you said there's comments?
There is some comments. Well, no, I said the people that's on the line, they can call in. But I do have somebody in the chat room. I do have some nice, but I'm not going to read all that stuff. But go ahead, Ken.
Okay, so anyway, what I was saying was, if you go back, like, let's say the Revolutionary War, no, the Civil War, right? Where they let blacks fight for the Union, okay? And you know, blacks, from stuff I read, they blacks fought harder than the white, right? And that garnered the respect of a lot of white generals and Lincoln, who, my understanding, wasn't really a big fan of black men one time. You know, he wasn't for slavery, but you know. But anyways, the way that they fought, they were considered great fighters. And why? Because they fought 2-3 times harder than their white counterparts, because they were fighting for their lives. You know, everybody else was maybe fighting for, you know, just because they had to or whatever, you know. But blacks was fighting for their lives and the lives of their family. And so, you know, and I think even to this day, see, like, when you listen to what you say, I know you're going to get mad at me for this, but it still comes back to if we're going to ask, you know, not just the federal government right now, okay? The federal government is supposed to help everybody, okay? So now I qualify this, what I'm about to say. You're going to ask the private industry, right, to hire you, like in a situation where, you know, where that meme that you wrote. I mean, for whatever reason, if they're not saying that you're doing what they expect for you to do, then you have one or two options. You either going to accept it and step it up, or you should leave. Because if they're feeling that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, all it's doing is making you look bad.
Yeah,
right or wrong.
I know, but for him, right? But for him, the gender bias and that meme. I'm just asking, once they start going on maternity leave and stuff like that, and he has to fill in for two women at a time one day, he's going to say, I got to hire some more men. See, and I'm just saying, you can have that, and it's fine. We go through a whole lot of stuff, man. Now, I'm just saying, how did we get here? So if we were hardworking men before, and you said, how do we get to the stereotype of that black men are lazy? They just don't want to work. How do we get to that stereotype? Because once we weren't here, you agree, right? We were hardworking men, slaves,
yeah.
Hardworking. Mm-hmm. How do we get to the point? Do you know how do we get to this point right here that you say, hey, stereotypes are true. Black men are lazy. They don't want to work. They just want to sit around all day and do nothing. I'm listening to you.
Like I said, I don't think that stereotype is necessarily 100%. It's not 100% true. It might
Okay, Ken, but that's what you said. Talking about this.
I want you to repeat what I said.
Paraphrasing, you were talking about the work ethic of black men, and you were just talking
mm-hmm.
about that behavior. It's dysfunctional, and when it comes to work, they lollygag. They don't get that we were talking about. And they say, hey, these are the type of black men get a lot of stereotype when people hire them. They're like, oh, my God, is this black man? You said not all. Mm-hmm. But then you were talking about, you said, I'm sorry, bro, we're paraphrasing, that the stereotype, some stereotypes are true. And you paraphrased something may be a little. Okay, right. It's a little bit of truth. Okay, fine. So stay there.
Yeah.
So I agree. So if it's a little bit of truth, when it comes to that little bit of truth, I'm asking you, when it comes to that little bit of truth about the stereotype of black men being lazy and just want to bullshit around when it comes to that work, right, and we didn't always, tell me how do we get to this point? Because we weren't always like that.
How do we get
agree?
To this point? Because that's what
yeah.
I'm saying. Yeah, how do we get to this point? Well, that's what I'm saying. Because, see, you letting somebody else tell your story. See, I'm a manager. Like, I'm a manager, right? Now, have I had some people that work with me that was black, some black dudes that was lazy? Yep, like Mexican, like white, all of them. But see, here's the problem. The problem is most of the managers are white. And so, unfortunately, they have. You can have the same amount of lazy people, right? Cut corners, go away from work. You know, you got to keep motivating them to do what they got to do, whatever. Same amount, really, to me, every race. But the problem is the stereotype is the stigma is going to be put on certain people because these are the people that like white managers probably. Not probably, white managers are more likely to put that out there because they have the voice. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about.
Well,
okay, and it don't mean
that.
Well, hold on. Let me finish. So it's not so, and they don't necessarily be wrong, but see, they just omit when the white boy is lazy. They'll fire his ass, right? They'll give him a hard time. Cool. I'm sorry, I donn't mean to curse on you. You know, they'll mess with him. You know. But they're not going to go and say, oh, you ain't going to hear, you know, them come out and say, yeah, well, white men are lazy. You know, they're not going to say that. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, just like me. I don't publicly go out and, you know, and black men are lazy. I mean, I know that's what you think. I'm saying that right now. I'm saying it's the power
so
that
the
that are putting that stereotype
on. So what
does
the meme refer to? But what do we mean? What did the meme picture? for the world.
Because you have, once again, you have a manager,
what?
You have a manager, you have an owner, based on maybe, and again, it's not a thorough, you know, there's only so much you can get out of a meme. That's why we're able to kind of, you know, draw our own conclusions. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you got a meme, and you got this owner who says, you know what, I'm going to make it my duty to hire all black men and black women.
Yeah.
So then that's all he has to go by. Right? That's all he has to go by. You know? I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, even, like, you know, some of my counterparts, you know, shit, man, the worst people they talk about is other white boys. They cut them down.
Oh,
bad.
I know that. Yeah, I was talking to you about, I had many conversations where I was grouped, and I'm just sitting there listening, and they're talking bad about their coworkers so bad.
Horrible.
I'm sorry. I said, man, sometimes when I be hearing us talk about y'all guys, I said, we too hard on ourselves. These people be talking about each other bad like the coworkers is.
They do.
I said, what
they
in
do.
The world?
They
and
do.
I said,
but
so
because they
that's
have a voice.
We can't be too hard on ourselves, man. Because
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. And I hate to get you, they kind of like veer off on the subject, but it's still kind of apropos for what we're talking about. There
and then we're
going to
get on that subject about
men.
The money. Then we're going to get on to the money thing. Go ahead.
Cool. All right. Okay. So there's a stigma that black men don't take care of their kids. Right? There's a stigma that black men don't take care of their kids. All they want to do is make babies and, you know, and you know, go out and do their own little thing or whatever. Right? Right? Can you agree with that? Hello?
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yeah, it's a stigma out there. Yeah?
Okay. All
right.
There's
right.
a stigma out there, right? Who put that stigma out there?
Wow.
Black women did. There is a little bit of truth to it, but when it's constantly
well,
put out there,
too.
Then it's
well,
then it, grow,
well,
it grows legs.
Well, Republicans and the Republican Party did it too.
They can only do that because they're not in our homes. They're not in our homes, bro. They can only do that because we're telling them what's going on in our homes. That's it.
When they complain about welfare and checks and stuff like that, and they know the father can't be there.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, but still, then we're letting them in our homes. I guess not welfare, but. Yeah, I mean the biggest beneficiaries of welfare is white women. Or I should say that's affirmative action, not welfare. That's affirmative action. But still, the point being is that stigma has been put on us because it's been put out into the ether constantly. You constantly hear it. There is a little truth to it. Yeah, that don't mean that. I know for a fact you take care of your kids. I know for a fact I take care of my kids. There's no black men that I know that don't take care of their kids. Right? I mean, that I know personally. I know some that don't take care of the kids. But the people I know personally, they all take care of their kids. Right? But
yeah.
that don't mean
yeah,
that, you know.
That, know per,
but that,
a lot of people I know personally
yeah,
take care. I think everybody out there,
right.
almost 90% of the men that I know, even from way back, they got some relationship with their children. They got in touch mm-hmm. with, they got some relationship with their children. I don't know
and
what.
The problem is there's not really much to counter it. There's not really much to counter because, you know, to me, like we're talking about, you know, black men in their work ethic, which I don't think black men as a whole have a bad work ethic. There's a few that garner that stereotype, and that's who we focus in on, just like criminality, you know. There is this thing that people think there's more black men in jail than college, and all black men have a criminal record. I've never been in jail. I've never been arrested. Again, most of the black men I've known have never. Huh?
Well, this meme, when Women are in the workforce, and black African-American males are being shunned upon, and people have this stereotype. It's not good for the future of our boys and employment.
You're right. It's not. See,
a lot of these, it's generational. When you hold someone's grandfather back and he was unemployed, and then his son, and then your father saw his grandfather unemployed, stressed out, then you don't see him do a whole lot of things working.
Well,
then, you know.
I mean, like I said, you're right. I mean, the only thing.
And then it goes down. But now someone has to break the mold. Someone has to break the curse. Because he's been held back. Because, see, you can't say, see, this is the thing. If you're talking about work and in this society, and you're saying right now, people have a problem or stereotype about black men working. You can't separate that stereotype from the hindrance of them in the past. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
What? You can't. When you try to hinder a group, a pool of men, not that you're going to have your couple hundred thousandaires, a millionaire black men. You just have success. When we talk about the pool of people, when you hold them back, you say, well, how can the pool of people be exactly, well, hold up, this is competition. So everybody by default can't be exactly like everybody else. And then you ain't even talk about racism. We just talk about competition, selling products, persuading someone that you're better than somebody else. And we ain't even talk about race and bigotry and jockeying for goods and benefits. When you hold them back, then you're going to have some of these problems. You're going to have some males growing up and saying, I don't want to go because, see, this is the thing. You know the containers and the carts and, you know, the trailers, the people, the businesses that were opening up about black people with the restaurants, you know that?
Yeah.
They probably work, for the most part, they work with a white establishment, McDonald's, fast food, because they're doing fast food stuff. They probably say, I'll be working for them and I can do it myself.
Right.
They got the skills from the white company. Then, no matter what, they put that money together with somebody else, and they started their own business. The same thing, Kenneth. So the black person, to get ahead, you're going to have to deal with white people. Even if you have all white people in your community, you're going to have to go to your state to fill out some paperwork to do something, or your county. They're most likely dictated by a majority of white folks, the voters in your state. So stop saying you can do everything by we. They never gave us black people their own state. They could have. So you have to build and get from them. Then once you get something from them, like they got from our ancestors, picking the cotton, then you can establish yourself. Then you can become their competition. When you study something, when you look at your literature in major studies, how many authors look just as now? It's maybe some, but for the most part, the author is what? Probably don't, you know, it can look like, even if you go to the HBCU, HBCU books don't have all black authors.
Right.
They don't. It's education is education.
Mm-hmm.
These people are advancing us in certain areas because when we were slaves, for the most part, picking in the hot sun, they had opportunity to ponder and study to the stars. They didn't have to worry about getting up from 6 to 6, 6 to 6, 6 days a week. And only one day off was New Year's. They didn't have to do that. They can study and ponder about life and be philosophy all you want. So there's a reason why some are small pool are having a hard time. And then what you need to be talking about is saying, guess what? Black males, when you get into these companies, you got to tuck it in and you got to watch out because some of you may find out that you don't like working around certain personalities. You need to make sure you're there on a mission, meaning you're there and you have a goal and get your own one day. Because this is what you have to realize. Psychology says that if you don't know, if I meet a white person that I never knew and we are alone in a room together, there is automatic tension. And none of us have to be racist. We're going to try to feel, I'm going to try to feel out if he's a racist, he's going to try to feel out if I'm one of those quote-unquote N-words. Nigga,
what type of black is this? Is he a proper black man or is he one of those?
Mm.
See?
Yeah.
Right.
But what was the next thing? Because in a little bit, I'm going to have to hop off. So around 8 o'clock, I'm going to have to hop off. So, yeah.
Go ahead, man. You can end it up, man. You got about 10 more minutes. Go ahead.
Well, no. I wanted to talk about what was the next topic you was going to introduce.
Okay, let me try to play it. Let me see.
Mhm. Well, yeah. While you're waiting to play it, let me know when you're ready. But while you're waiting to play it, you know, like I said, when it comes to that meme, I guess I just understand. It's like the movie Rudy, you know. And you're a walk on, and you know, and even though you know you deserve to be there, but you got to prove to everybody else that you deserve to be there, the people that are already there.
Right.
Because unfortunately, you're walking in on somebody else's field. So you know, as black men, when I told you, I said we got to be ready. We got to be, you know, once we get our own thing, then, hey, you know what, you know, in the inner workings of us, you know, then, hey, we hold each other accountable. But until that time comes, when you start with somebody else, they're going to be looking at you, like you said, nepotism is strong. If they're going to bring you in from the outside, they bring you in over somebody else, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's human nature. Like you said, they're going to expect more out of you. You know what I mean? More than likely than they will somebody else. Or they cousin or they nephew or, you know, or their son or whatever. So when I told you, hey, man, you know, with this Build Back Better bill, they got infrastructure. They're going to be hiring people paying them $45 an hour, you know, taxpayers' money. It's going to be run by whites. And they're going to hire blacks. They're going to be looking and watching to see how they do. They're going to watch everybody, white, other white people too. But to me, at least in my personal opinion, from what I've seen, they're going to watch the blacks a little bit more. A lot more, but I'm just saying for the sake of argument. So, you know, that's why I say we got to be real.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we can't be lollygagging and all that stuff like that.
I'm trying to find the...
That stuff can't happen. You know, we got to be like how our great grandfathers were when they got an opportunity, man, they took it. They took it and they ran with it. You know what I mean? It don't mean that all black men that all black men have bad work ethics or anything, no more than it means that all black men are criminals. But there's enough to make it an issue. You know, and we're unfortunately not in a position to where at the bottom of the pack is just about everything that nobody who wants to be at the bottom of the pack. You know? So, yeah, but go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. We got about 6 more minutes.
Okay. So I'm
trying to find it and it won't go up to the recording.
That's not good. Was it something that we argued about already?
No, I was trying to put
I mean, we plan on having, you know, for anybody listening, and, you know, I encourage people to call in, voice their opinion, you know, what they heard.
Oh, we
know,
got people on the line, but they're just not pressing one. We have people on the switch, board, but they're just not pressing one.
They scared, you know, they some people like to listen, but, you know, I should say scared, but some people like to listen and, you know, don't really want to, you know, put it out there, you know, whatever. But I know that, you know, we talk basically every day, you know, so much that, we were actually having this argument a little earlier. It was yesterday, the day before yesterday, All Facts, and All Facts told me that I was lollygagging. but anyway.
Oh. Oh my goodness. See, that must have hit
you. That was what you said, right?
That must have hit you. That must have hit you. And guess what? I bet you were self-conscious all day. Hold up.
I was working hard that day. I got a whole lot of that day. Let me call you back. All facts said I was lying again.
Can you better stop? You don't want to tell them the true story. Now, you be quiet. You won't embarrass yourself. Don't tell them reality.
All right, so you know what? I mean, I'm just, while you're trying to chew up the video or the audio.
Yeah, I got it.
You know, I know that some of the shows that, okay, well, just real quick, I just want to, some of the shows I know we're talking about doing, we've had some spirited debates about the whole abortion thing that's going on right now, you know, the possibility of overturning Roe versus Wade. I know we anticipate talking about that. I would love to hear some people chime in and voice their opinion after what they hear, you know, what me and All Facts have to say about that. And then, we're also, you know, I also plan on bringing on a buddy of mine that is a, oh God, All Facts. What is it, that thing called? I keep telling you that she is. Shoot, I can't think of it.
She's a lobbyist.
She's a lobbyist, and you know, I want to bring her on. You know, on one of the previous platforms that we was on. You know. We always had a big thing about black people and voting in their voting habits, I should say. Okay. Whether it be voting Republican or voting Democrat. And, you know, this buddy of mine, she, you know, like I said, she's in the thick of it. She, you know, so she knows the ins and outs and, you know, stuff like that. So I would like to bring her on and, you know, and discuss, you know, some of the stuff that we've talked about as far as voting is concerned. And, you know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, man. I'm going to come out and say it, you know, just for those people. I'm sure most people listening, it's probably Democrats. And my question would be why, okay? That would be my question to y'all. Anybody out there that's a Democrat, you know, why? And I think that's something that black people, we really need to start talking about. It's not talked about enough.
Well, why?
It wasn't talked about. Huh?
Are you gonna say
yeah, I don't want to go, you know, yeah, I don't want to go get too far up into it, but I know those are a couple things that, you know, we have coming down the pike. You know, I pulled up some information for the abortion thing argument, you know, you know, so, yeah, like I said, I just want to, you know, put that out there, some things we got coming up, you know, coming up down the pike, you know. So I'm sorry, bro, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish up.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, All Facts is my boy, man. He's like a brother to me, you know. You know, so I also want to say this. There's probably gonna be some nights where you hear us really going at each other. Trust me, we do it all day, every day. You know, All Facts call me everything but a child of God. I've done the same thing to him, and after we done called each other all kind of bees and punks and stupid and stuff like that and everything. Like, all right, man, I'm going to call you back. I'll talk to you later. All right, brothers, peace. Kid you guys not. That is the conversation All Facts and I have all the time. We can sit there and cracking up laughing and everything like that, and we be spirited in our debates and arguments, but it's all love, and you might hear it, you know, sometime, you know, in our shows or whatever, you know, or actually his shows. It's more his show than mine. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm the Pippin to his Jordan. But
we finally, you know, most people don't do that, but we actually saw each other for real. We chopped it up and saw a game together at That was really nice.
It was good to kind of, you know, finally put a name to a face. You know, he came out to LA, we watched the Baltimore Ravens. You know, went to a bar, had a drink, you know, watched a football game, and, you know, so, yeah, it was nice, man. I really enjoyed it, so, you know, but, yeah, so, like I said, just, you know, there's some things coming down the pike, just, you know, a little backstory, and, you know, I can't say that I can be on, you know, I'd like to try to be on more, you know, but I try to support my brother as much as I possibly can, so. You know, but yeah, okay, I'm ready, bro. You can go ahead and play whatever you're gonna play.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Let me see. Hold on. See if you'll let me. Oh, this is 2 minutes long.
No, go ahead. It's cool.
Hey, hold on for a minute.
Right here,
though.
Oh,
no,
it's fine. Drug dealer. I want him to move that
way.
Scammer 9 to 5 drug dealer. I tell the world I prefer
my God.
Drug dealer, but I really want the scammer in my heart. No problem. I said drug dealer and then a scammer, then fuck the 9 to 5. I want the scammer first, then the drug dealer, then the 9 to 5
drug dealer. Drug dealer first?
Yeah. They can take you out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. On the boss, only take you out on the weekend.
Drug dealers.
No. 9 to 5. 9 to 5.
Drug dealers.
Number one. But I'm thinking about, like, you know what?
Oh, you want to drip you out. You want to survive. That's what's
wrong. I'm surviving, girl, so probably a scammer. As long as he don't get me messed up in his little work, he can do whatever he needs to do. As long as he giving me some bread, then he's good to go.
Scammer, drug dealer. I need a nigga with money, so drug dealer is first.
Scammer.
listening. I don't know if you heard that, but, you know, just to, you know, off as if I can kind of break that thing to not summarize it, but just kind of, you know, give a backstory to it. I guess this guy goes out and he's interviewing. These are all young black women. Most of them are black. There's a couple, I think, Puerto Rican, and, you know, but mostly black women, okay? And he's asking these women, they had an option between a 9-to-5 man, a scammer, and a drug dealer, which one would they pick? Now, you just heard what those girls in question picked. You heard this, okay? Here's the cool part about that. These are college girls. These are girls that were, I guess they were some kind of, I think it's a homecoming or some party or something like that or whatever. I don't know exactly, you know. And I think it was Albany State, and I can't remember the other college that they were. I think it was one was in New York, and the other one that they went to was in Baltimore. Okay, and so we're talking about college age girls that are actually in college, higher learning. This is supposed to be the creme de la creme, right? And I don't know who the brother was that was speaking on that. After that was over, I don't know who that was, but he hit the nail right on the head. Those in 10 to 15 years, those girls, when they're about 35 years old, will be calling up whoever the new Kevin Samuels is, or maybe by that time, maybe it's not calling up, maybe it's some Star Trek materializing in front of, or I don't know. But anyways, they're going to be getting in front of people talking about, there ain't no good black man out there. Black man ain't this, black man ain't that, and da 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 da. right? That's what they're going to say. Because, now, I do stand by this. Whenever I hear a lot of these sisters talking about how there's no good black men and black men isn't, and how, you know what, you picking them. You picking them, you know? And I'm going to be honest with you, at least from my point of view, and I'm going to say this all facts, and I'm going to turn it over to you. But from my point of view, it's unfortunate, but you know, there's some pretty girls in that video. A lot of the girls, most of them girls are very pretty, right? You guys incentivize these men to do that. These young boys know that in order for me to get with girls, I got to be a damn scammer or a drug dealer in order for me to get these black girls. I got to be a scammer or I can't be a 9-to-5 guy. You know?
Wow.
The black community is so screwed up right now that we somehow think that the steady Eddie dude, we don't want him. Then you wonder how come you got all these black men out here behaving the way they do.
Well, according to you, the steady Eddie dude can't keep a job because he don't want to go to work. Martin Luther King said every time the black man get a steady job, they want to cheat his wages out.
He went a lot of gang, man. I don't know, bro. I guess we just get it from all sides. I don't know. You know, but
the low education jobs when you don't have to go to college, they went away with the NASA took all those jobs away. Well, you didn't have to have a whole lot of college degree. You could just get out of high school, so
right.
You didn't have an education, middle-class jobs,
mm-hmm.
stay-at-home mom.
Making good money.
That
yeah.
woman that you heard,
yeah.
she's not used to the old-fashioned, some old-fashioned black African-American men who work for the steel plant. $45, in today's money, $45, $50 an hour job, stay-at-home mom, black woman, because her husband made good money, especially at the GM plant in Detroit. Look at those families. A lot of those black men that worked at the GM plant in Detroit, Michigan, good money, 20, 30 years retired, then look at how their families were. See, Ken?
You know...
It should have been
I agree with you.
It should have been more instead of the more immigrant men who those same type of men, they dealt with the mob, they shut down the factories, they labored, they bullied America over, and they bullied the jobs from our fathers. We was scum at the end. That trickles down to this, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just a million more black African-American men worked at those good factories back then. Just a million more. You can't say that we
were
not
black
some
girls
of our
don't
families.
Want them men.
But no, they're not what I'm
they
trying
don't want
to
those
tell
men.
You. They're not. I'm trying to tell you they're not. Well, I'm not defending what they're saying because it's ignorant. But... What I'm trying to tell you, let's go. We know it's wrong. The way I talk is, where did it come from? How did it get to this point? Then maybe we could solve the problem. Go to the starting point. They're not used to black African-American males making 9-to-5 schedules and making good money where they can get them certain things. They're not used to that. As a pool of black men, we're not used to that. Then you're getting used to men going and making that $45, the middle class, $50 an hour. They try to get more than that per hour. And other things, scammers and what you said, drug dealers. Because this is a capitalist society. Remember, why is that in our big culture? Because in the past, the men did not have jobs. They had idle time.
Well, I mean...
I don't know.
So, you know what?
We have to change it. So the way I say we change it is, for instance, on the federal level, goes back to my point. take an initiative like they take an initiative for everybody else and just put it out there. We're hiring black men at a high rate in this infrastructure bill, and we're going to monitor
mm-hmm.
it. Then they may get used to dealing with somebody with a 9-to-5 job that's making $45 an hour. Some of them. Well, some
I think you got to go farther than that.
Well,
see, yeah,
well,
see like
the,
like we were talking.
I go to the starting point.
Well, yeah, but you gotta go. You gotta go back farther than that.
No. Well, okay, you can go, but I just want to say this: the white culture, for the most part, won't say no shit like that because they used to seeing their white men working good salaries, hardly doing nothing on these good corporate jobs.
Okay, so now here's the thing that I got to get pushback on, okay? Because when we were talking about them truck drivers, you created this scenario, right, where they're getting the job done and all that stuff like that or whatever, okay? And I know it's because it's what you want to believe. Okay, so I'm not going to create a scenario, but this is what I'm going to say. Who's to say that these 9-to-5? See, for some reason, we get this. Hold on, bro. I'm sorry. I got to take this call. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't know what he's going to talk about. Like, who he thinks the 9-to-5 is something. I don't know. But we're in a capitalist society. We were talking about the government is talking about fair wages. The federal minimum wage is $7-some an hour. We talking about states as having a living wage for people, and he talking about a 9-to-5 ain't nothing. People are leaving their 9-to-5s and going it. No one is saying that you should get someone who's directly know that they did them with criminality. That's crazy for saying that. But no, I just want to say something before you continue. You talk about what's wrong with a 9-to-5 job. In the black movement, remember, they're talking about black African-American males, right? A 9-to-5 job, the federal government can, the federal minimum wage is $7-some an hour. We had many discussions of states raising the minimum wage on these 9-to-5 an hour jobs. What I'm telling you is it's tough out here for everybody, but we're talking about black African-American male employment. And people are leaving their 9-to-5 jobs and starting their own businesses because they want more money. They want more of the pie. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, what I was saying was, I'm not going to create any scenarios. Okay. What I'm going to say is, just because you work a 9-to-5 don't mean you broke. Okay.
I say it doesn't.
Okay, no more than you being a scammer or a drug dealer means that you are balling out of control. See, I know we want to look at like, you know, Freeway Ricky Ross and, you know, and Rich Porter and, you know, and them type of guys. You know, not every drug dealer was on that level. Most of them are not, and they're nowhere near that. But unfortunately, those are the ones in our community that gets glorified. That's what the problem is. When you want to talk about going in chronological order, the problem is from a young age, we glorify, like I said, the Rick Rosses and, you know, and the drug dealers and the fast money pimps and stuff like that. That's what we glorify. It don't mean that they make more money than a 9-to-5 worker. That's not what that means.
It just means that's what we look up to. What was the question to the young women?
They had a choice between a scammer,
dating,
a drug dealer, or a 9-to-5. Brother.
Why, stop right there.
Didn't say how much money any of them made.
No. Stop right there. Stop. Pay attention to detail, Ken. They said, for a guy who's working 9-to-5. That means money.
Yeah.
And then hold up. And then when they said drug dealer, that means also money. Mm-hmm. Now, a scammer can be someone's characteristic. You don't have to scam people out of money. I mean, you can manipulate somebody out of anything. But those two mm-hmm. characteristics, they were talking about the type of man that they would deal with and the type of money he would make. And those two options, two out of three options. So for you to say that their brain is not thinking of the band making money, I don't know. It's bad that they would even say, they should have said 9 to 5 because he's legal. But if they were thinking about money, I don't know. But it should have been,
but
of course.
You just totally missed what I said, bro.
What? Because you're
what
saying
I said,
that,
what
that
I,
it shouldn't have been. I'm just saying some of them may have been looking at the question and saying they were only thinking about money when they're picking a man. They're not even.
I got you. I understand that.
Spoken to no money.
Right. And then what I said was, well, who's to say that these scammers, let's say, you know, credit card fraud or whatever, you know, I'm assuming, these scammers or these drug dealers, you know, there's no guarantee that you're going to be balling out of control because you're a scammer or a drug dealer. I know a lot of people that sold drugs and didn't have a pot to piss in, was still living with their mama. They had a little money in their pocket, yeah, but no more than anybody else, you know. But the problem again is we glorify the black community. We glorify the scammers and the drug dealers, and you see it when you get and again I know people ain't gonna like this, when you got women in their physical prime, in their early 20s, no, there's beautiful women in their 30s or whatever, I'm saying in your 20s, right, in your late teens and 20s, saying if I had a choice between a scammer, a person that scams people, a criminal, a drug dealer, a person that sells illegal narcotics to people, that hurts people, and a man that makes an honest living, they automatically assume, I'm going to take one of these two because these two make money, as if the 9-to-5 guy don't. You know why? Because we don't glorify, we don't look up to, we don't honor, we don't reverence 9-to-5 men. We, as if brothers that work 9-to-5 can't make money. That's the problem.
They don't make too much. They won't make enough money to satisfy the things that they have or want. I'm just saying.
Neither do scammers and drug dealers. That's the point.
Well, I'm not getting into that. Well, let's get into it. It all depends on the 9-to-5. Some people can be making this. It all depends on what we're talking about. Let's
slow it down. Right. You're right.
Let's
if
slow
you,
down.
If you automatically, if you
hold
hear
up,
9-to-5 and you
hold
think
up.
McDonald's worker, shame on you.
Okay.
Shame
let's
on you,
slow
man.
Down for a minute.
If you,
let's
if you think
the
that only
go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Let's stay within
if
the black community. Let's stay in the black African-American community, and let's talk about black males. For the average black male, if he works 9-to-5 in this country, how much dollars he does? I think that you keep on bringing up this guy's name. He says the average black male makes $40,000 a year. The average. So how much is that an hour? So that's 9-to-5. He works 9-to-5, and he makes $40,000 a year.
Hold on. Let me look it up. Well, no. You talking about Kevin Samuels?
No. You bringing his name up? No, I'm just going by because.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring his name up.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Let's go to the 9-to-5. The average black male that makes 9-to-5. How much do you think he makes a year? Just a guesstimation. Since you know all this, you got to know you have to know this question. Since you say the 9-to-5, I mean the average person. You got to go on the average. The average black
Hold
male,
on.
Black male now in this country.
So if you make $40,000 on a 40 hour work week, that comes out to $20.82 an hour.
$20.
$21 an hour, basically, is what it comes out to.
$21 an hour.
That's $833 a week.
Okay, now watch this. Now
that, okay,
it.
Now
stop
what
it.
Now what
now,
you're
now,
alluding
now,
to
hold on,
is what
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on,
okay.
Can I for a minute? Can I say that now? Mm. Now, we just threw that out there because you keep on bringing someone else's name up, and then we talk about black males, and we threw that. But some states are fighting to get $15 an hour in the state. The federal minimum wage is three times less than that, which is about $7.50 an hour. Here in the state of Maryland, the city, it's $10 an hour. I think the state is going to move up to $15 an hour. But you said $40 an hour. It's about $21 an hour. The average black male don't make no $21 an hour. I'm talking about the average.
Okay,
the average brother does not have a college degree. I'm talking about average. If anybody out there, the average person don't even have a college degree. The average black person don't have a college degree. Will never walk across the state. The average person who can start a family, black African American male, don't make no $40,000 a year. You mean the average black man makes $21 an hour?
Well, what he said was I think it's 65 to 70% of black men.
I'm asking you, in
no,
California,
not California.
You think they have, no. Hold on, I'm asking you a person in California, in your state. Do you think the average black man makes $21 an hour?
Absolutely. I mean, in California,
California.
My daughters work fast food and make almost $18 an hour.
Well, let's say $21 over here will probably be, I wouldn't say double. Let's say it's about $30 over there. So you think the average black man makes about $35 an hour over Cali, the average?
Somewhere around there, yeah. I mean, okay. You know,
well, that's
maybe not 30.
Well,
but
that's Hollywood. Well, hold up. Mm. If you say maybe not 30, because you know the cost of living is different over here versus $21 an hour. I mean, $40,000 a year over in the East Coast is equivalent to how much money over in the West Coast. What you think?
I think it's more expensive to live on the East Coast in New York than it is in L.A.
Right. $40,000 in Georgia or in South Carolina, how much you think that you have to make the same?
Oh, you balling. You balling over there.
Right. Right. But,
yeah,
but,
you,
but,
if you live, if you're making $40,000 out there, man, you're doing your thing.
You probably got to make about $75,000 to live the same lifestyle, probably down south with $40,000 in California. So that's almost double.
Right.
So about 42. Right. So if they say $21 an hour out in California, a man got to be making $42 an hour just to be living like he's making $4. Just the average, and that's no money. So what I'm saying is this country politically has talked about wages, Ken, when it comes to women and men. And when it comes to the 9-to-5, especially for a black man, salaries is tough, right? Salaries is tough. Mm. That's all I'm saying. They should get a 9-to-5. But historically, 9-to-5s, you got to be suffering. I mean, some people do things on the side. These women are just looking for money-hungry ballers. That's the bottom line. They're not looking for love. They're looking to date, have sex, and according to y'all, they're not going to have no babies. They ask them who they would want them to date, and if they want to go date a criminal, hopefully they won't get pregnant in college. Hopefully they'll take their birth control. They want to go date the criminal. Hopefully they won't die. They won't get locked up. But I guess that's their choice because I guess America's capitalist society, goodies and good and fortune, historically, they're not used to black men working a 9-to-5 job, making good class money. Historically, niggas can do something else, and they're used to black males. Hold up.
because black males ain't always used to be drug dealers and get money like that. See, you forget where's the transformation. They were not used to that.
Let me,
obviously,
well, hold on. I gotta clarify something here.
The men, obviously, the men of their lives are not making 9-to-5 money, 9-to-5 good money, and that is not the role model for them directly in their lives. Obviously.
Okay, hold on. Now, what we're talking about, what he said was, huh?
What do you disagree with? I'm not co-signing anything that they say.
You are justifying why they're picking, because you're saying, oh, they're picking these guys to 9-to-5. Bro, you asked me a question. You said they are picking drug dealers and these scammers because 9-to-5 guys don't make that much money. That is literally what you were saying. That's literally what you're saying.
Hold up, Ken. Okay, because I said one reason, maybe the money, because they said the girls said money and time. They never said nothing about personality.
Right.
They said money and time. So if you give a woman a choice, which one you're going to take, 9-to-5 guy or just a drug dealer, and then she picks the drug dealer, and then she takes, and she says the drug dealer has a lot of money and he can spend a lot of time. She's never telling you that he's a good guy and he go to church and he's going to take care of my kids. She's not saying that. So that's
because she don't care about that.
No,
right?
Hold up. Exactly. She only cares about the money.
Okay, so fine. Hold on. And then what did I say to that? What did I say? I said,
okay,
there's no guarantee.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, because. Okay, so then we're back to square one. Other than how do these girls get in their mind that if you're a drug dealer or if you're a scammer, you automatically are what we consider a baller. And so and I just looked it up. Now, what we referenced the brother that be doing the show. I ain't gonna say the name, right? And what I said was, I'm sorry. What he said was, as far as black men. I think it's 65-70% of black men are what we can make as far as their earnings would be considered middle class. That's what he said.
Okay, stop. They said for a single person, middle class is $26,000 a year for a middle class person. Look that up. That's what they said. Look it up. They said for a middle class person is $26,000 a year, even in California.
Okay.
And even on the East Coast. You think that's middle class?
Nah, hell no. That's not middle class. Not in California.
So, absolutely not. What are you talking about? Listen, a single person, the threshold, the minimum, $40,000 a year minimum is not the threshold as what people consider what middle class is. They don't.
I'm looking at it right now. It says the hourly wage in the United States, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is $29.81 or $1,034.41 a week. That's the average
hourly
wage.
The average hourly wage when no state. So that's got to be on salaries, yo. You mean to tell me you have to have a lot of managers?
Well, no. I'm just.
It just hourly.
That's what it says.
No,
the average hourly wage.
It cannot be. If that is so, that is a contradiction.
What do you mean?
According
to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average hourly wage of the United States citizens as of December 2020. Is $29.81. That's as of March 30th, 2021.
That must include bigging their salary. It's
going to include the billionaire salary, then it's going to include the person that's only making $5 an hour.
Okay, but that deflects, but guess what? That distorts how people are hurting. Why would you bring that statistic up? Let's stay in the Black African American community. Stay focused.
Okay, so I already said it. I said in the Black African American, the average black male is the average black male is middle class. The average black male, at least according to what I heard from that brother, I'm almost finished. Hold on. He said the average middle class brother. Okay, or let me reword that.
The
65 to 70% 65 to 70% of black men are make a middle class living.
And
that's,
how much
that's
is
what
that?
He said.
And how much is that?
I don't know.
That's what who said.
The brother whose name I said earlier. You said you don't mean to mention any name, so.
Yo, stop that. Hold up. Let's stop that. Fuck what somebody say. I want you to look in your family, in yourself, look at your family, look at your neighbor, look at the black community at large. Would you make the statement that the average black African-American man in male in this country is middle class? If that
in my family?
I said look at yourself, your family, your neighbor, and look at the community at large, all at the same time.
Okay, right. Okay, so, well, I mean,
you're
in my inner circle, I already told you. My father
you don't have to get that person.
Works.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's okay. I mean, you know, my father works at the post office, right?
Okay.
I have a brother that's a bus driver. Okay, he works for the city. My other brother works at a railroad, and then I have one brother that passed. Right. So I mean, I don't know what their person, but I mean, I think that you know that for the most part they seem to be doing okay. You know, I mean, two of us are married. Me and one of my other brothers is married. The other one isn't, but he's doing fine, you know. I would look at his lifestyle and consider him middle class, you know.
Okay.
So, again, that's like, you
so
know.
So your
neighbor's
middle class. I don't know where you is now. Try to get the average black man around the country. Around your state. The average black male around your state.
Well, again, I mean, that's not what the fair says me, because
Brother, we're talking about community issues. We're talking about politics.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to talk about the community at large. See that's what I said on the show. When you talk about politics and when you want to get on social media and talk about what other people's ideas that's not a part of your family, you're talking about the black community. So you got to look at us as a pool, and you don't want to do that. So once again, so you get your family.
Mm-hmm.
So your neighbors around you, I guess they middle class. So the majority of the people in your immediate family. Now I wanted you to branch out into to your cousins and stuff in this picture. Then branch out to your city, and then branch out to your state. The average person, the average black man that you see, then branch out to the country.
Mm.
The average, consider that you're middle class. What do we consider a single middle class man can house his a single middle class black African American male. He can house his own self.
Mm-hmm.
He can pay his own car payment. He can pay his own insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can buy his own food without asking nobody for nothing. That better be the definition of a middle class. Because if that's not the definition of middle class, no one wants to reach it. Be quiet. I said, brother, now you're going to tell me that the average black man is in that situation. The average.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, stop playing.
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
Playing.
See, now who's been out there? So you say, so see, now who's being the coon now? So what you're telling me is that.
Stop playing.
What? The average black man is poor? In the United States?
Because watch this. You, for many times, says the average brother don't got no job, right?
That's not what I said. You can never hear me say nothing like that.
Okay, so what is it? So if the average is going good, what is your complaint? If the average black man, hold on. If the average black man is an upstanding person, the average black man don't got a police record, the average black man is doing good, then there is no reason. The common man, the majority of us, are middle class and we should be doing good. You shouldn't even be worried about what's going on.
Sure I am, because we are affected by
because
it.
Because the average is the majority.
If you remember one night we were having a conversation, right? And I read to you what the median income was of white family, Mexican family, black family, right? If you remember, actually, the black family, the median income, that means the middle, right, was only like $10,000 off from the white folks, how much money they make. Okay, you can argue when you say you don't know about that.
Let's stay focused. No. Let's stay focused on black African American males and make money.
I'm talking about black African American males. I'm talking about that. And what I'm saying is, I mean, in order for us to be that close to whites, right, $10,000 to $15,000 off a year, right, we have to be generating some kind of money. Here's the problem. You ask me, so what do I feel is the problem? The problem is we're not smart with our money. See, when you're comparing what a drug dealer does with his money, right? And what? Hold on, bro. Let me finish. When you're comparing what a drug dealer does with his money, this is what a drug dealer does. Drug dealer will live with his mama. Hold on, bro. Let me finish. He will live with his mama. Okay. He will, because he's living with his mama, he get food stamps and everything. Like, literally all his money will go to a nice car, nice clothes, and hanging out. That's literally what all his money goes to. Okay? It's a very superficial way of saying that this guy's a baller. He's not a baller. He's just able, because he's living off the system, the 9-to-5 man is doing. Let me finish. Let me break it down for you, okay? Because now it's like you don't know about your people.
But basically you're saying a 9-to-5 guy, for the most money, for the most part, makes more money than a drug. Okay, let's move on.
What I'm saying is just because you work a 9-to-5 does not mean that you're poor. That's it. And just because you're a drug dealer or a scammer does not mean that you're a baller. Where do these girls get that notion?
Because listen, the society says for the most part, a drug dealer, not saying you're going to be a baller, but for the average drug dealer that gets fast money is going to make more money and spend more time with her than the average black man that makes 9-to-5. That's what they're going to – that's their conclusion. You can agree or disagree, but that's what the woman thinks. But I agree with that.
And that's all I said. I said the problem is that we, society, in particular – black society, because once again, the big difference you and I have, I do not sit there and blame white folk for the behaviors and thoughts and actions of blacks, okay?
Hold up, bro. Be quiet, yo. Stop. What you just said is that you don't know your history. Listen, brother.
What?
You don't know your history. You notice every time I keep on asking you, you keep on talking about this is how a person is now. And I keep on asking you, you're right, that's how they are now.
I'm asking you how they get there. And you never answer that. You keep on don't answer that, and you know this. And I love this is being recorded, brother. Listen, you just said you don't blame everything on black people, the way they act on black people. I will prove to you everything dysfunctional that you just heard from that black girl started from the white community. Everything. Dope dealing came to us from the white community, all of them, right? Foreigners from dope and sold us how to do dope. Benjamin Franklin started the gambling to try to have numbers. What are you talking about? And alcoholism comes from them white people. We ain't in alcohol in Africa. And we ain't smoke no tobacco in Africa. What the fuck? Everything that you're talking about stems from them because they were the dominant people in dominant society in this country. So every dysfunction that came from them came down from them. Calling a woman a B-I-T-C-H comes from them because that's their word. And guess what? He called his woman a B. That's why it trickled down to us. What else you want to talk about? Name something else that we don't like, black people don't like doing. What? Name anything that you think is functional that black people do, then I guarantee you I can prove that it started from the white community.
I think you're missing my point. Listen.
You're right. Hold on. And you keep on moving from the point. Everyone knows.
Hold on. No. Hold on. I'm trying to respond to what you said. Here's the problem I have. Okay. You're right, but here's the problem. The problem is you say, well, they drop drugs in the community, and they taught us this, and they taught us how to call women out of their name and all the things like that, right? Okay. The problem is this, bro. We never had to accept it. Okay.
Right.
And I think that's where you always, hold on, bro. And I'm sure you teach your son the same thing I teach my son as far as this is concerned. Okay, my daughter's too, but more my son, he's a man. And what I always teach him is you take accountability for the decision that you make. When you do something, don't come, and I ask you why you do that, don't tell me because this person told me to do it. Because, see, that's what you're telling me right now. Well, black people, particular black men, we do these things because the white man told us to do it.
No, but let's
right?
Okay, hold
that
up.
Is
reverse,
exact,
reverse,
well, okay, well, what are you saying
no,
then?
No, I'm not.
What are you saying?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm saying. Watch this. I'm going to do history. Watch this. Chronological order. First of all, no one is saying that no one should sell drugs at all. Right? But watch, Ken. There's a small group of people. It's not surprising that a small group of people, small group of men in the black African-American community, right? Because you was talking about that they put it in our community. That means when someone puts something in our community, they control the environment. So hold up. If it's not...
Oh, my God. How are you getting that from?
Be quiet. Oh, my God. Be quiet. First of all, nothing is in my box. Nothing is in my box. I don't even own the box, but I'm in the box. Someone who dictates what goes in my box put drugs in my box. Once they put drugs in my box that I don't control, that I don't get, right? Because they already know what the drug is and what it does. I really don't know what it does and what it is. So they put it in the box where the box, the people that's in this box, they're poor. They're depressed. They don't have no jobs. They're struggling. They got stressed from the government pressures. The government is treating them like this and that. You know, they all got depression. They got to death. So someone puts that in there. Once the person puts it in there, they're controlling the environment. The environment is totally changed. Watch this. Because the reason why the environment has changed, now, first of all, the people have a new choice. Now watch this. You come and says, everyone in that box
100% of all of them, for some reason, should have never made that choice to go and do that. And what do they keep on telling you? Well, some made the choice because they got laid off. They got tired of the white man kicking them off, paying them underwork. Some of them got some of them got addicted to it. Some of them wanted to have fancy clothes because they live in a capitalistic society. Some of them rebelled to the system and said, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And some, like I said, some of them used it and start using it. So first of all, when you put that in there, it, the environment comes first before any choice that you make. Any choice, and whoever controls the environment controls the choices that you may make. Now, once again, Kenneth, human beings are faulty just like me and you. So unfortunately, when you put that, when you put that in a type of people that we are in this country, you're going to have the similar effects that we have now. It's not a big, I'm not surprised that a lot of us in our community, because of the history and the way these, this environment has treated us as a pool of people. When I'm talking, I'm looking at us as a pool. You keep on looking at you, and you keep on saying, I made it, all my folks should have made it. I made a choice not to do it. Everybody that was in that environment that didn't know how to leave, that didn't know how a mother abused them, kicked them out at home, all of them should have made the choice for someone, I don't know, and never did that. What I'm saying is, it is a reason why people had stress on them. My solution would be to go back to the starting point. If you never would have gave them idle time by discriminating against them and hiring other people over our grandfathers, they wouldn't have had those idle times to make those choices. Just like of now, brother, if you have idle time and you totally don't have nothing to do, you say, I'm a fine. If you ain't had nothing to do, you might get yourself in trouble and do something that you never thought you would do. Ha-ha, you don't even know that. Because guess what? Even though you may have been in an environment, I'm not saying what environment you have been, but you can't deny, even though you make, some people may have not have made that choice. Because when they went home, their home may have been different than yours. And they have, may have gotten, I don't know, because everybody's different. What I'm saying is, kid, if no one is right
now, when am I going to be able to talk, bro?
Saying, but no, bro, this is my, well, come on, bro. Just let me finish. So this is what I'm saying. But go ahead, bro. I got to let you know that.
I'm sorry.
I understand.
I killed your mojo. I'm sorry.
We made choices.
I'm sorry. But let me tell you. Listen.
We already know the choices that people made. I like to stay. Forget about what if. I want to talk about what is. How do we get to this point? And if we talk about how we get to this point, you can, I guess it'll be some merriment because it'll come with some type of solution. But everybody want to talk about how people are now. That's my
thing. So you always bring this up. You always talk about we got to go in chronological order, okay? And that's fine. We can go in chronological order. But I stop at when you say, well, because you make it seem like we had no choice. They put us in this box and all that stuff like that. Bro, let me tell you.
No, we did have a choice.
You want to go? Right, exactly. We did have a choice, okay?
Right.
And up until probably the last 40 or 50 years, right? Black people wasn't choosing to accept what white people gave them. And see, that's where it's saying you go in a chronological order.
What do you mean?
You go back to slavery.
That's a lie.
See, hold on, bro. Dude, that's a lie. Oh, stop it. Oh, you stop it.
They accepted
stop
their
it.
Religion. They accepted their religion.
No. Hold on, bro. Slow down.
The way we
Let me respond to what you said. I did not interrupt you. You talked for what, a good 8 minutes uninterrupted. Then I start talking, you want to start talking over me. Come on, man. Come on, bro. All right, thank you. So what I was saying was, all throughout when we was in slavery and you know, and they want outside of working, because again they forced us to do it, right? They forced us, but they also didn't want us to marry. Like you said, even with the whole religious thing, actually they try to take religion from us. Okay, they've gone through great pains to do that, and it didn't work. So what they did was they said, okay, we're not going to allow you to read anymore, so that you cannot read your Bible anymore. Okay, see, this is this big misconception. A lot of these people tell you, and they get it from white folk. At one time, it was illegal to own a Bible. It was illegal. I wonder why. Think about what you're saying. They gave us religion. They gave us the Bible. They went to great pains to keep you from reading the Bible. Why would they not want you to read something that they supposedly together to keep you in bondage? No, that what they did was, we're not going to teach them to read. We don't want them to read, and then we're going to tell them what's in there. Right? That's what they did in their own little twisted way. Right? But even more so is the fact that even after slavery, all the things that white people have done to try to get us to conform to them, black people never did. After, like I told you the other day, after the Civil War, when those generals approached those black ministers and told them, what do you guys want? You want to be with us or you want to be on your own? They said, we want to be on our own. We don't want to be with y'all. We know what you guys are about. Want to be with
so
you.
So where did the turning point happen? So where did the turning point happen?
I'm sorry, bro. I know you don't want to hear it, but the turning point happened when we started preaching assimilation. That's when it happened.
Oh, assimilation. So you're saying when we started, well, hold up. So you're saying
in the 50s and 60s, in the 50s and 60s, when we started trying to fight to be amongst white people that's when a lot of these behaviors that you see, that you feel is, that you say is bad or whatever, you know, them things would have never happened even back in slavery. We weren't trying to be around that, bro. We were not trying to be around that.
Okay.
You know?
These are all recent.
Relatively recent phenomena, even to the point of of not taking care of our kids the way they say that we do.
Okay,
these are relatively recent phenomena. I'm talking about like 60 years.
Okay, recent, right. But I'm asking you, right?
Yeah.
But right. I know, and you're blaming it all on black people. But I'm asking you. So you got in history, because chronological order. So we once were there. So you're saying, the reason why we changed is because the 60s movement saying that we want equal rights and we want to go anywhere we want to go. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying the 60s. That's what
I mean,
saying.
without going more in depth to it, but yeah, it's not so much the equal right. It was the assimilation. You see, we wanted equal rights. What they gave us we wanted equal rights, and what they gave us was assimilation.
And let me get right. That's why black men start selling drugs and dope. So hold up. You're saying when we started assimilation, what did black people start doing that white people did that is messing us up now? I'm listening.
The selling dope, right, was a result of a set of men putting drugs in the community and giving to men that weren't raised by men.
Hold on, I guess you don't want me to finish.
But no,
you have no, people are listening to you. You have to be detailed. You said a group of men. What nationality and color were these men that gave these
European, white men, white Americans.
Okay. Gave who?
Black men.
Okay. And these
narcotics
to sell to their people.
You even said yourself,
who,
the Sicilians,
were giving black drugs
and they didn't want to sell it amongst themselves.
Okay. Exactly. So I'm asking you. So the men that the Sicilians gave it to, the black men, what status were these men? Because I don't know.
What do you mean what status? What status were they?
I don't know the status. You said the only thing we know that the Sicilians put it in, and obviously black men had got them into the hand. So what was?
They were underworld. This is all underworld stuff. Other than, I guess,
okay,
you could say, like, Iran-Contra, you know,
and
all
what,
that.
And what, hold on,
but,
hold on, hold on, hold on.
But
hold on.
That doesn't matter.
Okay, that doesn't matter. Hold up, brother. Because you're talking about, you want to change, you're talking about people's behavior. So you're saying people had bad behavior. That's all you're doing. Because you know, I mean, you're just saying people had bad behavior. So let's slow down for a minute in chronological order. So you said these.
I'm trying, but you cut me off. I was trying to go back in chronological order, but you cut me off.
No, I'm not cutting you off. Right now we're having a dialogue. We're going back and forth. So there's no cutting. There's no debating. So we're just. I'm asking you questions. So we're having a dialogue. So we can get to some. So you said white man gave it to these guys, and then you said these black guys. The reason why they accepted them because they were part of the underworld, right? Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the underworld? What is the underworld?
Who?
What is the underworld?
What was the question? Illegal. It's a world of illegal crime.
Okay, stop.
Yeah,
okay.
That happens under the nose of law-abiding citizens.
Right, exactly. So you're saying that they were already illegal before they accepted the drugs? They were already illegal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were already. Okay, so if they were already, how did that society start in America? What helped foster the illegal underworld in the black African-American community in this country?
What helped foster the illegal black underworld?
Because we were all slaves. Hold on. First, we were all slaves. We were all slaves, so there was no underworld, unless it was the Underground Railroad, where white people was helping us, to get from one freedom.
Right.
But, I guess that was kind of the underworld, but you wouldn't say that was technically white people would say.
It might have been illegal, but no, I hear what you're saying, no.
Right, but I understand, but morally it wasn't. Right, but we know that, right. So, what helped foster that underworld? What were they doing in the underworld? I mean, they had to do, you get what I get, man. This country produced
everything. They were breaking
everything. The law. Okay. Breaking what law? They were former slaves. See, this is what you think, Ken.
Whoa, no. Hold on. Wait. No. Former slaves was not selling drugs to each other, bro. This stuff didn't start happening until the late 60s and 70s. Come on now.
Come on.
You
got to
be truthful.
Back. Okay. We're going back to when they gave the first people who started. Because you're talking about the black people who first kicked this off, right? They're the ones who created and started all this. Because I was asking you what we were doing good, and I asked you where did we turn wrong? And somebody told you, and you were when you weren't even born in the 60s, you just said, "Oh, the reason why I was is because when Martin Luther King was trying to get integration." That's crazy as hell. Okay, fine. When they try to integrate schools. That's fine. That's to each of his own. So let's go back to the point because you're talking about all the community. So these people that were part of the underworld in the black community, I was asking you, how was that underground community created? Let me tell you how it was created. It was created because it stems from slavery.
That ain't true.
Okay, first of all.
Hold on. When was Frank Lucas? What is that? 1940, right? Was Frank Lucas around?
No. But when Frank Lucas was around, he saw people getting high with heroin already in Harlem. Already, even when he went to Vietnam, people was getting high.
See, no, Frank Lucas was. Well, he didn't go to Vietnam. Wasn't he before Vietnam?
No, I think he was in Vietnam. I'm not for sure. But see, Malcolm X before he died.
No, you might be right. You might be right. Okay.
Oh my God! Come on,
Nicky Bars.
Because you're blaming everything on black people. I'm trying to tell you the source of our problems is the people that's not us. When Malcolm X passed away in 64, he said Harlem had a bad dope problem and drug problem. That's in 64.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bumpy Johnson actually was the one I was thinking about.
Okay,
Bumpy Johnson.
I don't even want to bring up those. They're not important. Let's just leave names off of it. What I'm saying is the underground in this, whatever you talk, it started from the struggles that was pushed on black African-American people. It's just that simple. Okay? So, once again, the source of it comes from who? It comes from someone who decided, I don't like black people, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to them because they control where it went. You're right. The black man who took it was messed up, but I'm asking you, what was his history? His history was Be quiet.
Hold on, bro. I thought we were supposed to be having a dialogue because right now you talking. That's all you're doing is talking. That's it.
Well, I can mute you. It's my show.
What happened to the dialogue?
I mean, go ahead, though. Go ahead, bro.
So I'd like to ask you a question because see what you're telling me, is basically this is tantamount to me, or not. Let's not even say me, a stranger, right? That don't look like you or anything like that, approaching you and saying, "Hey, Arfax, listen, I got this vial that you need to stick in your arm, and you know, here, why don't you go ahead and take it?"
People are doing it now.
I even take it a step further.
People
you do this, and you know, you go ahead.
People are doing it now.
Right,
they're getting conned.
Yeah.
Millions of people according to you, and they're getting conned, and they don't even
right.
Know.
But the problem I have with what you're telling me right now, all facts, is that. Going back even back into slavery time.
What is the problem?
Black people
weren't. I am not.
Black people, well, I'm trying to tell you, and you cut me off. Black people weren't, not saying you didn't have any, right? For the most part, black people weren't doing the stuff you see today. It didn't, at this level. And when, hold on, bro, and when you say, oh, well, it's because of slavery, because of white folk, bro. They had it a million times worse than we do today. A million times worse. These white racists were overt with the fact that they hated blacks and they wanted them dead. Either dead or not around. We are not around. They didn't want to be amongst them.
I can't do this.
You can't because you know you're wrong, bro.
No, I'm wrong about what? Listen to me. Hold on,
You're sitting up here trying to say it's slavery, then you're going to have to explain why they weren't doing it in slavery. Why weren't they doing this stuff during slavery? Why weren't they doing this stuff 10 years after slavery? 20 years? 30 years?
You
got to wait almost 100 years before you get to where it is right now. 100 years after slavery, 1865 to 1960. 100 years. Right.
Ken.
What happened?
Ken, when was cocaine first, according to the streets, when was the cocaine first ever sold in American streets? When?
I don't know when cocaine.
When was heroin actually being sold?
like it was in New York and Harlem, to our people. If you don't know that, then why are you saying what you're saying? You sound ignorant. There's a lot of
okay. So you tell me then.
Hold on.
You go to these microcosms and these extremes or whatever. I know it wasn't started in the black community. I know it wasn't started there. It blew up there, but it wasn't. It didn't start there.
Stay.
Wherever it started, that's where it should have stayed. I bet you, when you have fathers in the home and stuff like that, they would have never allowed that stuff in the black community.
Ken, let's talk a comment. Mm-hmm. Calm down. You're talking about what should have happened. That's fairy tale stuff. Stop being fantasy. We're talking about politics.
It's not fairy tale, all facts. If it's actually what happened,
because you said go in chronological order.
No,
be quiet. Listen to me. Come on, bro. This is uneducated. Listen, bro. I'm going to tell you how you like elements. I got to help you out. The reason why I'm in chronological order is because I'm showing you where we're going now. Listen to what your argument and stop arguing. You're saying what we should have done. Stop. I know that's over. You're talking fantasy. That's going like in the fairy tale book and says, we didn't do it at all. And if we didn't do it at all, it would be like this. Stop, Ken. Just move on. I got that. So you're right. I cannot disagree with you. So let's stay with reality and stay with what is. We did do it. Now I'm asking you.
Right.
You said at first we didn't do it, and I'm asking you what was the transformation. Then we got to the point that someone out of our community came and brought something, and we agreed that they accepted it. And then I got to the point, I said, you said, well, once again today, I don't want to talk about they shouldn't. I'm talking about what we already know that it is. They were reality. Never say what we should and we should not do. Please. Because that's argument. That's dumb stuff. Let's just talk about what is and how we got here, and then we can try to find a solution of how to get out of it.
So don't talk about how we got here, because that's fairy tale stuff, right? Because
no,
we did it.
You're contradicting yourself. No. What's fairy tale stuff is this. I'm saying how we got here, chronologically ordered, but you're saying we chronological order, and then you're saying we shouldn't have did this, we shouldn't have did this. If we wouldn't have did that, it would be like that. That's fairy tale. We already know that. So that's like you're beating up the community. We already know that it was bad, and if we would have made another choice, it would be different. But let's stay with what it actually is. They accepted it. Stop. Now stop that. Now let's go on and move on. So I ask you, let's stay with reality. So what position was the person, I'm going to talk and I'll let you go in. The position of the men who accepted this, their history as a pool was held back economically. They probably had low education. Their fathers, they had no jobs. They was running the street. They had idle time. They probably got misabused. As a child, as a boy, they just had no whatever it is, what it was. I don't know. But I'm letting you know that the atmosphere that man was in, I guarantee you, it stems from, I guarantee, slavery. Has to. Because guess what? Don't cut me off. We already know the choice that they make. What I'm saying, the fact of the matter is, if you did not put something else, he would not have the option to make the choice. It starts with the person who puts it in. Now, he's going to put it in to a group of people that historically is suffering economically, historically gets depressed, and I don't mean no harm. That's why they say give it to us, because when you come to that type of drug, we are a type of community that fits it perfectly because the conditions and mental conditions that this country has put pressure on us. I don't know. I don't know. We have a different fight.
Everybody can look at our history, and no other group has got beat down like we have historically in this country. That is a fact. To say that we're not going to have no mental disease, no mental disorder, I don't know. Even Christian folks fell, that believed in Jesus Christ, fell addicted to the drugs in the 60s. So my conclusion is this. Yes, we accepted it. But those men that accepted that, it was put in their community because they knew that community needed some money. They knew that community, that what they were going to put in was going to hurt and hinder them. They never liked it or what have you. The men that took it, they were greedy because we live in a capitalist society. They will learn more about the money than learn more about killing their people. I guarantee you those drug dealers who accepted those drugs, they was worrying about more of the money than worrying about, oh, you know what? All my people are going to die, and 40 years later, it's going to end up like that. Them people, they had no crystal ball to do it. They were greedy, just like the white man was greedy selling our uncles. The white man said, oh, the only reason why we sold slaves is because it was economic. Our ancestors from Africa, the only reason why we sold y'all is because we had to borrow and it was economics. It wasn't because we didn't like y'all. It was all because of economics. The white man used that excuse. This is crazy. So what I'm saying is we never should, but I'm not going to talk about that. That's fairy tale. We is, and when we get to this solution, if you focus on the economics and getting us good jobs, guess what? The next generation will not go get and sway through that. Just, I guess, I don't think the next generation of a lot of these hip-hoppers, they say that they sold a lot of drugs. Do you think a Boosie Kids are ever going to show drugs like him? They saying this for, do you think Boosie children are going to sell drugs? No. They're not. Because the generation doesn't, because their father, no matter what, their father is setting up that his generation don't have to work. That's just like, imagine if we had back then, we had a million rappers that were businessmen, or 100,000 black businessmen that were rappers back then, and they wouldn't have that fair shot. Don't tell me that we wouldn't have generational wealth. All those wealth of those kids would, and then, they're going to get together and they're going to pass that name down, and it's going to be generational wealth if they stay together as, you know, you got to watch who you marry into the family. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about what
okay.
is, and it's not a surprise
right.
that when you put something like that in a group of people like us, a small group of, most people don't sell drugs in our community, a small group of people that are lost and going through stuff, they're going to have that dysfunction. And we got to know that it was never our fault. Ultimately,
it was never our fault. You see what you said right there? It was never our fault. That is wrong.
Well,
okay. You cannot say that, yes, we had a hand in it, but it was not our fault. Those two words just can't they can't coincide with each other, bro. I mean, you just literally said, we took it. That's what you said, and then you got to also understand, bro. Just real quick, you got to also understand when you say, "Well, we took it because we were poor, black people. We were slaves, bro. Coming out of slavery, we was poor.
Right.
Okay, we weren't doing this stuff nearly to the level. We weren't doing this stuff nowhere near
because it wasn't cocaine on the street. Cocaine wasn't out in slavery time." Cocaine was available for somebody to
store
for the mass public.
Bro, hold on, bro. Hold on. Slow down. It don't even have to be drugs. Drugs are just one of the things.
How about alcohol?
Alcohol. Okay? You can whatever. It's not just alcohol. It's a lot of vices. It's a lot of vices. Hold on. Let me finish, bro.
Right.
It's a lot of vices that we were exposed to, okay? But like I said, you always have the option to say yay or nay. And once you say yay, you don't get to come back and say, well, you gave it to me. Okay? I mean, hold on, bro. Well, let me finish. Were they wrong for doing it? Yes. I am not exonerating the people that introduced drugs into the black community. But what I'm saying is if you had a stronger male base, right, a stronger family structure,
we would have not watched. This is the fantasy.
Right, okay, and so, right. And no, well, it's no more fantasy than you. Hold on, bro, hold on. Wait. Listen. It's no more fantasy than you saying, well, they shouldn't have gave it to us. It's the same thing. They shouldn't have gave it to us. We shouldn't have took it. When you say it's not our fault, whose fault is it? You're about to blame somebody.
No.
Whose fault is it?
I can say this. The white man should not have made – the white man should have not adopted drinking beer from the Indians because our African people were not doing alcohol at all. I mean, for the most part, I'm talking about where we are. I'm not talking about Northern Africa, but alcohol, beer, and Ivory Coast, we ain't drink, we ain't smoke. So I say right now.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I can think of some rums, from rums and stuff like that, and that came from over there.
Oh my God, Ken, stop! They took our grandparents to make rum. The white man had to stop, Ken. They took the slaves to make rum. Be quiet. Listen. Know your history. This is sad. The white man, we did not drink alcohol for the most part, Africans, and smoke from South Africa before they came and got us. The white man adopted beer from the Indians, smoking cigars and tobacco from the Indians. We came over here. So you saying... Eventually, Ken, if we're in that environment, some small black people are going to adopt it. According to you, zero black people should have saved their consciences and never smoked a cigarette or drank a beer. Because what I'm saying is, Ken, it was the white man's fault, but they're the ones adopted. They're the one had it and put it into the slaves' environment. And if it wasn't never in a slave environment, the slaves would have never had a choice to drink it. Yes, some Christian slaves didn't drink. But some slaves, if they never had a choice, yes, they took it. That's all I'm saying. They didn't create the environment. The white man did. And when you put that in the type of group in our community, a small group of people, unfortunately, it's one out of 100 may go ahead and take it because he's greedy in this environment system. And they knew what the fuck they were
doing. So what are you saying? What are you saying the white man should have did?
But they never knew. Listen to me.
So what are you saying the white man should have did, bro?
No, I'm not talking about what should have. That's fantasy. I'm talking about reality and what we're dealing with now. You're talking about novel stuff. Stop telling me no.
No, I'm not. All I'm saying is what you said earlier. What you said was it's not our fault. That's where the disagreement comes in. That's literally your words, bro. You said it's not our fault.
Our original problems in this country is not our fault. That's a fact. The source of our problems in this country is not our problems.
But you always have an option.
I ask you, so hold up. So if the source of your problems is not your fault, how are you going to solve your problems? It's not saying that you don't have to do nothing. You have to go to the source. You disagree.
Right. What you're trying to tell me is that because we were poor, so I'm assuming that, I guess, you know, in 1866 we were rich or we had money or we were doing well, okay? By 1875, we weren't doing really good. Maybe what, 1905, 1920, right?
Okay.
See, your argument is, we did this because we were economically challenged. And I'm trying to get you to see, honestly, hold on, slow down, brother. slow down. There wasn't really a time since we've been in this United States that you can say black people have not been economically challenged. You focus in on alcohol, or you focus in even on drugs, and I'm telling you, you want to go in chronological order. I'm saying, well, actually, that is maybe more of down the line. Really, really, what white people have been trying to do is destroy. I should say white people, huh?
You don't even know your history. You don't even know when drugs.
I do, bro. What are you talking about? What am I saying? That's wrong.
I
do know my history. Are you telling me that we did have money at one time? Is that what you're telling me?
No. Listen to me, brother. You're mixing things up. When we did not have money, you're saying.
When did we have money?
You agree. Okay, you agree that they had it worse off than we had now. Flores,
right,
physically being tortured. Okay, so what are you talking about? Now watch this.
Why weren't they doing the stuff back then that we're doing today when they had it worse off? Because that's your argument.
Hold up. I don't know, but hold on, listen to me. According to well, they had to do what they had to do to survive. I mean, I'm not saying that every slave did play by the law. If a slave ran away, he was breaking the law, and he got lynched. If a hungry slave went and stole some cornbread out of a bakery to feed his starving wife and his kid because the master was treating her wrong, that was illegal sin because he got lynched. According to you, the environment was set up like that. The white man, but he chose to steal, and that's why he got lynched. But we never should say, well, the white man the white man's environment, I'm just using it as a slave, the white man's environment did not give the man the urge to make a choice to go ahead and steal by law, by the Bible, it's not his, steal food for his family.
See, yeah, but see, you're trying to draw a parallel between stealing food for your family and selling drugs for your family. That's bullshit, bro. I don't believe you're saying this. Because that's what these men are doing. They're not stealing cornbread to feed their family. They're selling their family drugs to feed themselves. Not even feed themselves. Because they're going to the white man for that, too.
Hold up. Can we stop? Oh, hold up, brother. Stop. I want you to be quiet because I'm going to explain myself. Don't cut me off. You'll be disrespecting me. I gave him it. Stop. I'm going to cut it off right now. When I'm giving historical facts in the past, because you keep on going back in the past. Now, I'm going to keep on going on. According to you, if you said someone's feeding their face, according to the white man, what he says a single slave got caught stealing and doing something to feed himself. And he lynched him. It's still, so you're saying still, what I'm saying is, brother, listen to what I'm trying to explain to you. I'm not defending nothing, brother. The consequence is this. The black man is in the situation and the environment was made up for him that he did not make up. And in that environment, there's stressors. Like in the private industry, he did not get hired, especially in the 60s. He got sent over to war, and the white college people got his jobs that he wanted to get, especially in the factory. You keep on forgetting they fucked with the black male mind. That's why he may have used drugs. See, psychologically, this country has mentally messed up our minds. That's why you keep on thinking that I agree with bad behavior. If you listen to me closely, I'm talking about how did we get here? And if you think how did we get here, we can think about how getting out of it. There was a process of how we start, how you think it's all our fault. It's all our, because at first in the 60s,
They never said it was all black people's fault. They was like, yo, we good. We go to church, and the Southerners, we getting abused. The Nation of Islam, all of them, they never said it was all our fault. This government don't like us. But now you come. Now, often all of that, it was a transformation. Now you come and say it was all our fault how we got here. God, Ken, I got to go. I talk to y'all next week. You take it easy. Y'all join in. Have a nice one.